Good morning and welcome to the American Journal. It's the first episode of 2026, and we're excited that you're all jumping on board with us today. Welcome to the show. All right, we got a lot going on over here. Specifically, though, in recapping some of my favorite interviews. Now, we're going to dive into that in a little bit. It's important as we say goodbye to 2025 and step into the new year that we reflect on the good. I mean, there's a lot of negative going on all around the world, but I want to make sure we reflect on the good. Liz Harrington joined me to do just that. We did like a little countdown of our favorite Trump moments for the first year of his second term. And there is a lot of positive that we could reflect upon. So we're going to kick that off with Liz Harrington. We're also going to be speaking with Matt Tardio because there's a lot going on foreign-wise all across the world. And obviously Iran, in Venezuela, in China, Taiwan, so much happening. We want to make sure you see it all, of course. And Matt's joining us to do the deep dive into that. I know we have Matt on the show. You guys really do enjoy his talking. Talking points, but that sounds really bad. You guys enjoy his information. And I think that's really important. Matt does a great job at dissecting, going through the history of things and trying to understand what the actual meaning to things are rather than what's being fed to us in the mainstream media. And that's what we like about him. So he'll be joining us in a bit. We'll also be joined by Aaron Wright. Now, Aaron Wright, I'm a little biased because I do like the guy a lot. He's running for Texas AG, but what makes Aaron different is, number one, he just recently left the DOJ under Pam Bondi to take on what he's hoping is going to be his new position. He's running for Texas AG, and he is one of the very few people, number one, who doesn't have a political background in this race, which is a good thing. We don't really like politicians. But secondly, he's been endorsed by Ken Paxton, who is by far the best AG that we've ever had in this country. I'm just going to throw it out there. I don't think I've ever seen a fighter like Ken Paxton, and Ken Paxton getting behind Aaron. So that's why we're going to have him on the show today to discuss in studio the Islamic threats, because that's something that he's been front and center on. And he hasn't been waiting to see if the polling numbers are positive on this issue. This is something that he truly, truly does support, and that is defending Texas from this Islamic invasion. And he's going to be here to detail that. We'll also be joined Harrison Smith, the Epstein files. Yeah, those were a big disappointment in 2025. Guys, remember, you know, we had Pam Bondi go out there and promise us we were going to get the files. Well, unfortunately, she wasn't very transparent. And you know what happened? Well, a group of Democrats and a small group of Republicans got together and pushed forward legislation that President Trump signed into law. And we've slowly, drip, 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 have seen the leaks, the information coming from that. But it's not what we expected. So Harrison joining us in studio to react to what we've seen thus far. Again, a lot of heavy redactions, but it wasn't what was in the bill, what was allowed to be redacted. The victim's information was allowed to be redacted. Unfortunately, the DOJ is blocking a lot of critical pieces of information from getting out there, and Harrison's joining us to discuss. Rob Manson is also going to be on the program as well as Michael Cargill. We had Michael Cargill in studio. And if you don't know who he is, you're really missing out because he does great posts on X. His videos are hysterical. I truly do love them. It's like a two-way humor. So he's obviously a Second Amendment advocate. He's a winner when it comes to Second Amendment rights. In fact, he sued the government multiple times and he's won. And I learned that he's actually suing my former home state, New York, because they are trying to infringe on the Second Amendment. And Michael Fighter, he's like, no, you're not going to infringe. And he's now suing. So he jumped on a massive lawsuit. He joined us in studio to give us an update on that. Plus the crime in Austin, Texas. As a small business owner who owns a gun shop here in Texas, he is constantly having to fight back on all the crime. And there's a lot of them. I mean, they're constantly trying to break in to his shop. But there was one break-in, and he joins us to show us the surveillance footage that you're going to want to catch. So we got a lot happening here in just a moment. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because over there we just recently launched our beef tallow. So if you're somebody who is looking to start the new year off with a healthier version of you, ditch the seed oils, get yourself some beef tallow over at thealexjonesstore.com. It's packed with a ton of vitamins, and it is a healthier solution. I'm a person who loves making chicken parmesan at home, and you're going to want to do this the healthier way, and beef tallow allows you to do just that. So head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. While you're there, take a look. A ton of supplements also on sale as well, and now is going to be the time to stock up. So drop what you're doing, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now, and make sure you kick off the new year with a healthier version of yourself. All right, like I mentioned, we got a ton to talk about. We're stepping into 2026, optimistic, of course, but we're getting ready to expose so much more of the truth. So don't go anywhere. There's more to discuss in a second.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
With your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. I'll be taking your calls in about 24 minutes, roughly. So if you'd like to join the show, talk about a topic we've discussed thus far, the number is 877-789-2539. That is 877-789-2539. Join the show and give us a call. We'll do our best to get to everyone. I know yesterday I tried. Getting to all the callers, but unfortunately we didn't, but we're looking to meet that goal today. So it's 877-789-2539. We'll be talking a lot about the foreign policy going on right now over the White House. And as many of you guys know, the White House really buckling down when it comes to the countries that have funneled fentanyl into the United States. And, you know, President Trump has made it clear that he does deem Venezuela as a big, perpetrator in that. Now, although a lot of people tell you that about 10% of the fentanyl that comes into our country, is from Venezuela. It's not the largest place that's sending their fatal fentanyl into the U.S. But President Trump still focused on the regions. And yesterday in clip 11, he admitted, which I believe was originally a CNN report, he did admit that, well, the Trump administration did lead strikes on the ground in Venezuela. Take a listen.
Doesn't matter, but there was a major explosion in the dock area where they load the boats up with drugs. They load the boats up with drugs, so we hit all the boats, and now we hit the area. It's the implementation area. That's where they implement, and that is no longer around. I don't want to comment.
All right, joining me to discuss, Matt Tardio. He's a veteran, and he's also a podcast host, and he's been following all things Venezuela, and he's with us right now to do just that. All right, Matt, we got a lot to work through. It's not just Venezuela we're going to be talking about. It's also Iran. There's an uprising going on there. We'll get your take on as well. Nigeria and then Taiwan and China as well. So we've got a lot to dive into, but the Venezuela thing caught a lot of wind yesterday when the president made those statements. Your reaction to the president's comments?
Yeah, I'm not even quite sure that we actually ended up bombing them. You know, we authorized black ops over inside of Venezuela, what, like a month ago, maybe? And the president even didn't directly state that that's what happened. And have you seen the footage on the ground that actually took place over there? It doesn't necessarily look like a bomb went off.
Yeah, no. I think there was another clip, too, where he said it. But, Matt, I'll go with you on this one. I think there was another clip where he might have said it. I'll dig into that because I think it was supposed to be a different clip and it might be the wrong link. But there were reports, and I think it was CNN initially that reported that we were responsible for it. But again, it's CNN, so
saying we're responsible for it. Yeah, I'm not arguing the fact that the United States is responsible for it. I'm arguing over how it was actually conducted, what actually went down on the ground over there, right? Because the United States has several ways of getting things done, especially when you start looking at sabotage and you look at all of these different operations, especially in a denied area like Venezuela where people would be operating over there. So, I mean, there's lots of different ways to go about it. Maybe that's why Trump didn't want to actually come out and be like, yeah, we blew him to hell. You know, we were very proud of what we did over in Iran, so I don't understand why we'd be so secret about what we did here, unless there was an alternative way that we went about conducting that operation.
Yeah. Well, we're going to keep our eye on it because, I mean, it seems to be heating up in Venezuela. Everyone who I keep talking to keeps telling us to keep our eye on the region. Again, I mean, it just seems to be a situation that's ongoing, but also, a lot of people want an explanation as to why we're so focused on Venezuela specifically. A lot of people are fearing that this is just a regime change push. And again, I do strongly think that that is likely the case. But again, we're just going to keep our eye on it. Let's talk about Iran right now. Because Iran, there seems to be an uprising in Iran. And this kind of screams CIA to me a bit. But obviously, the president making it one of his other focuses of many is to obviously get the nukes out of their hands. We saw that all play out earlier this year. But most importantly, now we're seeing that all over Iran is these uprisings and these protests, which is something that's not supposed to really be happening in Iran. Break down the latest that's going on in the region.
Yeah, it's pretty convenient timing, I think, you know, between Iran and Venezuela. Mm-hmm. I think the last time I was on your show, I actually talked about this, how you have the IRGC that's, you know, piloting these ships that's selling the Venezuelan oil up over into China. Mm-hmm. And what we did was we went after the IRGC's funding when we started taking those ships out, right? Like that goes against their nuclear program or their uranium development program, that goes against their ICBMs, that goes against them going out and, you know, funding people like the Houthis and Hezbollah. And so the rial's crashing. As a result of all of the sanctions that the U.S. has been putting against them. And the inflation over there is just out of control. You know, people can't afford anything, so they're rioting in the streets. And at the same time, we had Netanyahu speaking with Trump. And this is what, like 2 weeks now where he's been bringing this up, saying that we got to start going after Iran. We've got to pay attention to them. We might need to start bombing them again, trying to push Trump in that direction. And the interesting part about it is Netanyahu went to Trump before, right, this big uprising ended up coming out. But we had signs of this uprising last month. We had numerous videos that were circulating online of Iranian officers that came out and defected and urged the people to do exactly that, like to rise up and to start defecting. And then we had Mossad X accounts yesterday that ended up coming out, basically saying that they were with the people on the ground and it's something that's being pushed over there. So it kind of makes me wonder if all of this stuff isn't orchestrated. When we look at what's kind of taken place in the past, it's not absurd to me that we would go back and we would bomb Iran again, because they've been pushing back really hard against the IAEA and the UN, you know, trying to reaffirm their right to peaceful uranium, you know, enrichment. But the problem is they enriched it all the way up to 87% according to the IAEA. So this isn't like, you know, the U.S. coming out and stating that, we've got evidence of yellow cake taking place over inside of Iraq. This is different. This is the IAEA stating that they're doing that. It's different. Undisclosed locations, you know, places that they were supposed to be reporting, but they weren't, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think even Trump ended up coming out with a statement that yesterday or the day before saying that we knew where they were continuing to with their uranium enrichment program. And there was rumors that was taking place at Fordow, the place that we had dropped those massive 30,000-pound bunker busters, those bombs that we designed for 20 years specifically just to keep Iran in check because of Fordow. And Trump ended up stating that it's not at the same places, that they're doing it at new places, and we're aware of where these places are at. And if we need to, we'll go in and bomb the hell out of them. So I'm kind of with Trump on this one. Iran can't have it. But at the same time, I think you're right. You know, between either the CIA and Mossad kind of orchestrating this whole situation on the ground over there, and we've seen signs of it coming for months now. And it's very key timing between what we're doing over inside of Venezuela and what's taking place with Israel calling for new bombing operations. I don't think Iran's got the ability to respond with all of this different stuff going on.
Yeah, I don't think they do either. And I think that's probably one of the many strategies that they're utilizing right now. And to make that happen, by the way, I knew I saw it somewhere. I just pulled it up. Eric Prince was my source on this one. So President Trump acknowledged that a CIA drone strike, which Eric Prince, he knows what he's talking about. So I trust him more than I trust CNN. I just couldn't remember where I read it this morning. About a week ago, to destroy Venezuela docks, allegedly used by Tren de Agua for drug trafficking exports. So that's where I saw it. I knew it was somewhere. I had to dig into that. But again, it's getting interesting. I mean, again, I sat back and watched as Netanyahu was over at Mar-a-Lago yesterday, and kind of figured that there was something spewing there. I think that they admitted that they had multiple things that they were talking about, but we only really heard about the Gaza peace deal angle to all of this. So we'll see how that plays out. But obviously the president supporting, so far, he supported the big push to denuke Iran. So we'll keep our eye on that. Since there's so much going on in the world, I want to get your take on this as well. You know, we had a guest on yesterday who waited on Nigeria because he's been in the region. He obviously does a lot of work with the Christians over there. And he was ultimately saying that although it sounds good that in the northwest region of Nigeria that we did lead those ISIS strikes, and the photos, the aftermath do look bad, We're hearing reports, though, that there was no individuals actually killed in any of this. You've been following this extensively as well. What are you seeing?
So my initial question that comes to mind is why Nigeria? And why are we bombing open fields, right? And it could be going after weapons caches and things of that nature that are hidden out in these fields, but that's drastically different than targeting the fighters themselves. But when you picture Nigeria and you picture, let's take this at face value and say the United States did in fact get intelligence from Nigeria, and we did go over and we did target different weapons caches that were over inside of these fields. They're right outside of those villages. Right. And so if we're going to bomb the ISIS fighters, essentially, at least in my experience, fighting ISIS and Islamic extremism, you'd be bombing the entire village. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that that's what the United States does. I'm saying that that's likely where the fighters are hiding at, and that they just walk out in the field and grab their weapons. And so by taking these out, you don't necessarily kill people, but you take out the weapons. But the real question is, why are we over inside of Nigeria to begin with? And it's all going to tie back over to China. It's going to tie back into Iran. It's going to tie back into everything, because China is being very heavily restrictive, especially on silver exports coming out starting on January 1st. They ended up sanctioning a bunch of the defense industry here in the United States of America. And that specifically is going to put a big hurt on us, because you're not getting any of those precision guided weapons without that metal. Over in Nigeria, you have a very large lithium deposit, and China ended up winning over the contract for that lithium deposit. They beat Elon Musk out. Elon ended up bidding on that lithium deposit, and he lost. And the stated reason for Nigeria was Elon wanted to take a lot of the metal, but Nigeria has a law that says you got to keep, you know, the production and all of that stuff. Like, you basically have to build business in Nigeria, and China ended up doing that. Well, China is going to take that metal. They're going to bring it back to China, and they're going to start dominating that industry. And you're talking about potentially the largest lithium deposit over in Africa. So here we have Elon getting turned down 1 year. 2024, you have China getting approved, and all of a sudden we're concerned with Christians over in Nigeria. We're not concerned with them over inside of Sudan. We're not concerned with them over inside Syria, where al-Jalani's been murdering them left and right. Nope, we're just concerned with Nigeria. And instead of actually going after and killing terrorists, we're going to take out their weapons. So I find it kind of suspect, and I part of me wonders what it is that the United States government's actually up to over there.
Yeah, and Matt, I don't know if you recall, and this, I kind of want to ask you about this. I remember in the first term, the president called out the genocide going on against Christians in Nigeria, but there was nothing actually done on the ground. But now we're seeing right. that there's movement. What do you think about that?
Well, again, why? You know, this is where my question comes in. Why just Nigeria?
Yeah.
You know, it's not like Islamic extremism isn't killing Christians left and right all around the world. We're just focused on Nigeria. So the question is, why Nigeria? And that is what I would implore people to kind of like look into and take a look. Sudan, you have Christians being murdered, like I said, over inside of Syria as well. And again, we partnered with a Al-Qaeda freaking terrorist in order to make that happen, you know, who is continuing to do these things. So what's going on? You know, Nigeria is very key, but at the same time, I have trouble thinking that it's just about the Christians in general. But at the same time, you know, right after we did those strikes, you have the United States saying, no, we worked with the government of Nigeria in order to make this happen. And then what did Nigeria turn around and do? Well, they banned anybody with a U.S. passport from entering Nigeria. So if we are in such good partnership with Nigeria in taking out these ISIS terrorists, why did they turn around and do that?
Yeah. I mean, Matt, I got a lot of questions in regards to that. I mean, I keep reaching out to the Pentagon, so I'm going to try to dig into this a little bit more. But I wanted to get your take on this, too, because this is obviously something that I see quite often, but you're telling me that this is different than times we've seen in the past in regards to Taiwan and China and about the military buildup, the Navy buildup surrounding Taiwan right now. Can you break down what's going on the ground and why you think that this is different from what we've seen thus far in the past?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's no secret that China has been wanting to take Taiwan for a very long period of time, very long period of time. And they've been escalating tensions over there in the region for a while. You know, last year we saw them even going over and running into boats. All sorts of stuff has been going on. And China themselves has been very smart over the last decade plus. You know, you're talking about a country that has literally built islands, declared them sovereign Chinese territory, and then pushed into international waters, claiming that as, you know, Chinese water, kind of controlling the waterways over there as well. And in my opinion, Taiwan is just kind of another step there. And when you look at the U.S. economy right now, where we're, you know, sitting at almost $39 trillion in debt, you're looking at a very depleted munition stockpile because of everything that we've been doing over the last, you know, 25 years, talking about the global war on terror. You're talking about Russia going in to Ukraine and the amount of United States weaponry that has been employed over there. And so our stockpiles have burned down. And that's not even a secret. You know, even artillery shell. Joe Biden ended up, you know, screwing this up. during the earlier days with the war on Ukraine, we were condemning Russia for using cluster munitions. And then Biden turned around and supplied cluster munitions to Ukraine. And it was this huge thing. And Biden in his old age just ended up, you know, leaking, in my opinion, one of the biggest problems, you know, biggest national security issues ever, by screaming that we were out of 155 shells, so we just sent them cluster munitions instead. So that makes me kind of start questioning about what it is that we actually have in our national stockpile, because it's not like you can turn around and create new bombs. Mm-hmm. So I bring all that back to China by saying, if China was ever wanting to actually move on Taiwan, now's a pretty dang good time to do it. You know, we've got issues here at home to where everybody's focused on the deportation of illegal aliens. We've got this isolationist mentality to where we don't want to deal with anybody outside of the United States. You know, we want to pull out of the Middle East. We don't care about what's happening over in Europe with Ukraine. We don't care about Israel over here in the U.S. We don't care about all of these different things. So it's this isolation mentality. And the U.S. dollar is crashing. It's not doing very good. I wouldn't say crashing, but it's not doing that great. And so my question is this a good time for China? Because when you have a vast majority of their Navy encircling this island, you have them moving ICBMs into launchers up in the northern portion of China over by the Mongolian border. And then you had just earlier today an MLRS test that they ended up conducting that ended up splashing down in the water north of Taiwan. And so they are ramping things up and they are escalating. And I think what they're doing is, you know, basically trying to see how the United States government is going to react. And that reaction that you had where you were saying, well, we see this all of the time. And that's exactly the point. You know, if you want to go in and you want to, especially a country like China, you want to go in and you want to invade a country like Taiwan, you kind of want to soften it up a little bit. You want people to get used to these different military drills and military exercises. And when you look at what Russia did before they invaded Ukraine, they were conducting what? Military drills along the border with Ukraine. Right. And they ended up stacking 180,000, 200,000 troops. And Russia just stood by and said, no, we're conducting military drills. That's all we're doing is military drills. So, it's a cause of concern for me that China is escalating that nature and putting that much of their military firepower over around Taiwan while claiming military drills, because they're partnered really close with Russia and it worked for them. Why wouldn't it work for, you know, China?
So, Matt, my follow-up, I guess, would be more about the current leader. Obviously, Trump prides himself on being a much tougher leader and that foreign leaders do fear him. We saw a lot of the moves being made. I saw a lot of the moves being made under the Biden administration. And I think a lot of us in the media were critical, thinking that China would make the move with Biden because he is softer, obviously, when it comes to foreign policy and being able to utilize our military. I mean, he completely decimated with DEI and other tactics. So why do you think, I mean, ultimately they would make this move now, given the fact that President Trump has built our military up over a short time? He's definitely strengthened it while Joe Biden completely weakened it.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely strengthened it. And Xi's not stupid, right? Xi's not going to do something where he doesn't have a good guaranteed outcome. But it's not just about, you know, the way the Secretary of War has been moving at increasing our military. You got to understand that, you know, prior to Biden, you had Trump, but before that, you had Obama. Right. And all of that combined over time, you end up having people that are rising up through the ranks inside of the military, and they get put in these different positions in these different slots. And there is resistance that is still living within the military. And just because you bring in a new Secretary of War, just because you announce that we have brand new recruiting, because you have all of these things, that doesn't mean diddly squat when you have leadership that's within the United States military that is counter to the direction that we are trying to move as a country and to be coming, making it stronger. You know, we have been focused for what, 20 plus years on this global war on terror. And what we failed to realize that was while we were focused on this global war on terror, we have massive countries like China and Russia that are focused on these different types of near peer conflicts. Mm-hmm. And so our military was trained and focused for so many years on global war on terror, on counterinsurgency and things of that nature. And we saw this shift over the last couple of years of them going back and saying, you know what? We need to get back to the basics. We need to just start doing very, very basic things. We need to learn how to enter and clear a trench again, right? These are things that were long forgotten within the military. And we haven't been doing it either. And the interesting part is China and Russia have been partnering up together. North Korea obviously has been sending troops over, you know, to Russia, getting experience over on the front line as well. And all of that's information that's kind of being passed back. If we were to take the U.S. military and put them on the front line over inside of Ukraine, for example, that is a completely different conflict, something completely different that we just quite frankly aren't used to, right? That we haven't been doing. And there is practical experience to be learned there. And that on the ground experience, in my opinion, is way more valuable than anything we could ever train or drill on over here in the United States of America. Yeah. One thing that we are really good at is combined arms, right? And this is where Ukraine's kind of lacking, and Russia is severely lacking is this combined arms aspect, meaning that we're going to use our armor, we're going to use our artillery, we're going to use air power, we're going to use our sea power, right? We're going to use all of these things and bring them to overwhelm the enemy on the battlefield in the correct timing in order to close with and destroy. And when you look at what kind of this conflict over with China, well, we've got something completely and totally different. We've got an island that we're worried about over in Taiwan. When was the last time the Marine Corps was used in that manner, right? When was the last time the United States Army was conducting amphibious assaults? You know, these are things that are completely and totally different, right? That our United States military isn't exactly used to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, Matt, we're gonna keep our eye on this. There's a lot going on. And, we look forward to keeping up with your work because you're the one who's following a lot of this. So folks at home right now, if you want to give him a follow on X, make sure you do just that. Anger Tab is the easiest way to find him over on Twitter. You do a great job at outlining everything. So Matt, thank you for joining me. I appreciate your time as always.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. It's always a pleasure. All right, folks, I wanted to bring this to you because this is very, very interesting. You know, Scott Turner, he's speaking out in regards to housing fraud. He's the individual who's responsible for, he's the Secretary for Housing and Urban Development. Now, he claims he's just uncovered a massive amount of fraud. Take a listen to clip 15.
You know, during the Biden administration, there were over 12 million illegal aliens that came over the border, straining our housing supply and making the costs go up. And so we worked with Secretary Noem at DHS, as you alluded to make sure that only American citizens are living in HUD-funded housing. We also took away FHA-backed mortgages from illegal aliens during the Biden administration. They turned a blind eye. But we're going to keep the law to make sure that these mortgages, which are backed by the taxpayer, go only to the American people. And lastly, we are mandating that every public housing authority give us a comprehensive account who's living in every unit in taxpayer HUD-funded housing.
Wow. Another, Ashley Davis, another impact of that wide open border.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot. There's a lot of impacts due to that wide open border thanks to the Biden regime. And still, in case you're wondering, no one's been arrested. No one's been arrested. No accountability so far from this new administration. Very unfortunate. All right, folks, we're taking your calls. If you want to join the show, give us a ring right now, 877-789-2539. That is 877-789-2539. We're talking to you. We're going to go through the news cycle, obviously, and keep adding extra stories and throwing them out there, giving you updates and everything you want to see. But we also want to hear from you on the stories we've done thus far. So again, the number is 877-789-2539. And we'll get to that in just a little bit. We'll also be getting to other stories as well. There was this Nick Shirley video that he, and I don't know when he taped this, but I just saw it. I think it's actually a great video. And it is very unifying. It's very unifying. So we'll play this in a bit. It has to do with a black Christian speaking out against those who are moving into his community, and specifically those are Muslims, and why he thinks it's very important for everyone to jump on board and get vocal on this issue. So we'll play that clip from Nick Shirley in a bit. We'll also be diving into, we'll dive in and out of it because it's quite long. You know, Mike Benn's a good friend of mine. He does an incredible job at doing these deep dives. He did a 2-hour video that he actually just made. He took it off from the paywall so you could actually see it now. But I clipped a couple of the most insightful parts of all of this where he's digging into the USAID paying journalists. As many of you guys know, that's probably the biggest story, I think, so far on my side of all of this in 2025. It's definitely top 10 for me. So we'll play Mike Benz's deep dive in just a little bit as well into that. So a lot happening in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. In the meantime, though, you got buy one, get one free on select supplements over at thealexjonesstore.com. So if you're looking to focus in on your health, improve your health, now it's time to head on over to the shop. There are so many incredible items, including the Atomic Defense, Ultimate Burn, MK Ultra, and so much more. Buy one, get one free at thealexjonesstore.com.
Let me tell you about this. Our sponsor, Bigly, and the products they have at thealexjonesstore.com are whatever the highest source, best quality, highest rated products are, we go out and private label them, and in some cases, soup them up and make them even better. So we did a year ago a survey, what do listeners want? And you wanted methylene blue, you wanted beef tallow that Kennedy talks about, which I know is great for cooking and is so much better for you than seed oils, and you wanted high-quality Shilajit. We brought you all the best. They've sourced the best. This is so heavy. This is so huge. Tiny little scoop of this with whatever you're cooking makes it taste so great, whether it's potatoes, whether it's eggs, whatever you're cooking. Beef tallow is so delicious. It's just concentrated beef tallow, private label from the top ones in the country. No preservatives, no artificial ingredients, gluten-free, packed with nutrients, unlike seed oils, which are fake toxic garbage. Beef Tallow is real food that promotes whole body health. Get 25% off now when you become a subscriber today, and then lock in a bigger discount. Cancel anytime for free at alexjonesstore.com. Beef Tallow has been all the rage. It's what the listeners asked for. We've got the best for you right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And separately, creatine of the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligram gummies, huge container of them. Look into neurological studies, Alzheimer's, you name it. It's so good for young people, old people. Everybody needs it. Got it, two flavors, thealexjonesstore.com. And it's your funding of this operation that makes it all possible. I need your support. I am funded by you. I am supported by you. And I'm battling the Democrat Party law firms that have been trying to shut us down, and we've been winning thanks to your support. But it takes money to fight this war. So don't wait. Get our creatine gummies. Get the new incredible beef tallow. Just as amazing or more is the bovine colostrum. The first 2 weeks from cow's milk is the ultimate combo of super nutrients. You name it, for your immune system, your clarity, your focus, your hair, your skin, your nails. It's crazy. These are the best products. These are amazing. They will change your life. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And if you're going to buy anything there, become a VIP. $30 a month. Cancel anytime for free. The minute you become a VIP in your profile, you get $40 to spend instantly, making $10. Special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything at TheAlexJonesStore.com, become a VIP. Cancel anytime. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for standing with us. We'll never back down, never give in, but we could give out without your support. So you are the reason we're still here, and I thank you and salute you for it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Welcome to TheAlexJonesStore.com, the home of real solutions. Fuel your day with Ultimate Burn and Ultra Methylene Blue. Replenish and recharge with Ultimate Sea Moss or delicious Shilajit gummies. Stay sharp, stay stylish with our t-shirts and sweatshirts. Perfect for any season. Don't wait. Tap into real gear and real supplements at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Power up today.
Force filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on board with us today for the final day of 2025. And we're going to, you know, do a countdown of our favorite, my favorite, personal favorite, moves the Trump administration made so far this year. And we'll also be joined by Liz Harrington in just a bit as well, who's going to break down her favorite 2025 moments. Can't even speak. But that's typical for a New Year's Eve celebration. But listen, Liz is going to be here in just a second. We're going to dive into that. I wanted to talk about the fraud, though. We gave you the update at the beginning of the show in regards to what the Trump administration is doing to buckle down on the fraud. It's not just happening at the daycare facilities in Minnesota that are owned by Somalians. There's also a lot of health care centers and a lot of health care providers that are being called into question. Now, Nick Shirley has been boots on the ground in Minnesota, knocking on doors, asking simple questions of like, hey, can I get healthcare around here? And the kid hears crickets. Take a listen to clip 11 and how that went for him just a few days ago.
A list of all of the healthcare companies, loads of them right here. We want healthcare.
No, it's okay.
Yes, we'd like to speak about getting healthcare here?
No.
Why can't I get healthcare here?
No, wait.
Warning, you are under video surveillance. No trespassing, security armed. This is the strangest place I've ever been to get healthcare. Just a bunch of different places. Healthcare here, healthcare right here. Another healthcare company right here. There are three healthcare companies inside of this building right here in this room of 7C.
All right, so you can't assume that there's fraud going on here, but I'd say it's a little suspicious. Joining me to discuss, the former spokesperson for President Donald Trump, Liz Harrington, joins us now, and it's an honor as always to have her on the program. All right, Liz, you are the master when it comes to uncovering a lot of the fraud, specifically election fraud. We'll get to that in a little bit, but we're seeing all this financial fraud right now get uncovered. It is not just the daycare facilities that are being ran by Somalians that they're digging into right now. It's also the healthcare providers. Now, there's been several reports in the local news world about this going on for a couple of years now, but it's finally getting national attention, which I love because of the great work Nick Shirley's doing. So we just heard from the White House, the press secretary coming out, and Caroline Leavitt saying that we're looking into denaturalizing a lot of these Somalians potentially, as well as pulling now the funding from a lot of these programs. What do you make of the response from the administration thus far?
Well, that certainly sounds like great news. I think President Trump himself has been all over this for a while, even before the Nick Shirley video went viral. Mm-hmm. And that was going to be one of my top five just Trump moments of his rant against the Somali refugees, so-called refugees who have just been ripping us off, robbing us blind. But so that's great news. I think he'll be pushing for a lot of action. I think the key question is, will the FBI deliver? That is certainly an open question. Congress is going to do some hearings and they'll send some letters. But look, a lot of these people themselves are responsible for these policies. I mean, I heard that Tom Emmer is one of these representatives. He's in Republican leadership. He co-founded the Somali caucus in Congress. I mean, he's a Republican who was pushing these types of programs. So we have to clean this kind of stuff up. But when I first heard about this and saw these videos, this great reporting, it really took me back to my former life, my old days of, you know, scouring through these federal documents and looking for waste, fraud, and abuse, and it certainly wasn't hard to find. And that was like during the Obama years. And it's just amazing that this has gotten to this scale, though. I mean, there always has been this kind of, you know, funny, wasteful spending, research grants, and everything like that. But now it's at a level that the entire program is a fraud. I mean, this, and when I see this, they go to the addresses and there's nothing there. The daycare centers, there's no kids. The learning center that can't even spell learning. And this really tells me we need to not just look at Minnesota. We need to look everywhere because this has got to be going on. And it's just in broad daylight. And nobody's done anything about it. And, you know, they like to say, oh, there's been 99 indictments. That was for like the COVID era fraud, which I'm sure alone looking at the COVID money where they put the turn the spigot on and so much of our hard-earned money was wasted. That alone is a huge scandal. But nobody's still, where is, you know, the perp walk? Where is the huge press conference? Where is, you know, the raids? And you had people by Biden's DOJ and FBI raided and had their Declaration of Independence and copies of the Constitution confiscated. And those were the raids that were going on in the Biden years. And we can't even get, you know, raids of this type of criminal activity. That's what we need to see if we're ever going to have a hope of shutting this stuff down.
Yeah, Liz, I was digging into the DOJ and the FBI's response to this. And as you just said there, the indictments came down. The investigation was launched in 2022 into the COVID fraud, which was related to a bill that Ilhan Omar pushed herself, of course. But I'm sure that's not related at all. But I was told that the investigation into a lot of the Somalian fraud was actually taking place. It started under the Biden administration. Then apparently it was stopped under the Biden administration. And then I was told that Kash Patel directly quickly pushed for it to be relaunched and to looked into again. So there's been new, obviously, convictions that have come from all of this. So that's at least a sense of relief. But yeah, I would say it's deeply concerning. This is something that's been going on for many, many years now. There was a local news report back in January of 2025 that was highlighting the fraud that they were finding in Minnesota as well. And so this seems to be an ongoing issue. And we have a right to ask these types of questions. And it's not just the daycare facilities. We're seeing, we played a couple of videos in the open of the show. There are the assisted living facilities. They're just people's homes and they're claiming that they have patients in their homes. And then when they ask like, hey, how many people do you have living here? We don't have anyone living here. And they're openly telling these cameras that they don't have anyone living here. And so there's a lot more to dig into there. So we look forward to them uncovering this. But I wanted to get into something else. This is your specialty. You have been for many years now focused on getting to the bottom of the election fraud throughout this country, specifically in Georgia. Now, I'm told that Georgia is a Republican-led state. And so something like this is common sense that you would think that they'd push forward with and to make sure that their elections are safe and secure. But it's not really a top priority for them. And as we look at Fulton County, we see that what we were told didn't happen. And well, it looks like it happened. As we head into 2026 and we start gearing up for these midterms, what are some of the top priorities you want Republicans to take on? Because our elections are not safe and secure.
It's got to be the number one priority. I mean, to me, nothing else can be changed. Nothing else ultimately will be changed for the better in the long run if you don't have a free and fair election. And that's got to be the top priority. And we have to get rid of the system as it currently stands, the electronic systems, the mail-in ballots, the counting for weeks past election day, the voting for, you know, 60 days before election day. It is so open to fraud. And, you know, you mentioned Georgia, and that's the really sad thing about all of this is those Republican officials sitting at top of that state government, they want nothing to do with this. Why? Because they rig their elections too. They have rigged primary after primary. And you had Brian Kemp, who's got booed at the state GOP convention in 2022 and yet was able to beat his challenger, which was not a nobody. It was David Perdue, a former senator, by 50 points in his primary. I mean, and nobody ever even looked into it. I mean, you knew it was not legit. I'm not saying that Perdue necessarily would have won, but those numbers were just absurd on its face. I mean, none of the polling suggested a 50-point blowout from a former high-profile senator. It's just absurd. And you saw the same thing with Raffensperger. He got just above to avoid a runoff, the 50% threshold, when he was polling below against, again, not some no-name challenger. It was a former congressman, Heiss. So, and he's able to stay in office. And so these people are corrupt and they've been allowed to use the system that has benefited them. So they certainly don't want to change it. But I'm so happy to see the rest of kind of the Twitterverse or Xverse, whatever you want to call it now, yeah, getting onto the Fulton County story, because it's, you know, this is kind of information that has been out there and we've been pushing out there for years now, but now Fulton County has admitted that the 2020 election, 315,000 votes, they didn't dispute the fact that none of those were signed and witnessed to. That is the entirety of the early voting votes in 2020. And it's because they had to remanufacture them. They didn't have the votes for Joe Biden. And this is one piece of evidence when you take it with everything else that they've uncovered, a lot of these great Patriot private investigators down in Georgia looking into this for years. It was quite obvious that they never had the results, so they had to manufacture them. So that's why none of the paperwork matches. They had to calculate the votes, tabulate them on different machines than so-called voted that they were voted on. And then you had tabulators that did not even exist. I mean, so it's not just you had Stephen Richer, a corrupt official from Maricopa, coming to Fulton County, their brothers in arms, right? Their defense, saying, oh, no, no, this isn't a fraud. This is just like if you go to McDonald's and they don't give you a receipt and then you somehow say that's a fraud. I said, no, no, no. What happened in Georgia was Georgia ordered a Big Mac and instead they got a McChicken. And then they were handed a receipt that said they had always ordered a McChicken and you're just insane. There was never a Big Mac. That is how fraudulent this whole thing was. And that's why there's so much evidence. None of the machine count, the recount ever matched because they never had the votes for Joe Biden. And he's their McChicken.
Yeah. And that's you putting it nicely, actually. He is a McChicken though. But you know, Liz, when we talk about this all, it's so crazy to me because like you mentioned, you've been talking about this extensively for years now and trying to get people's attention to the matter. And not just you, people who were legally representing the president of the United States, like Rudy Giuliani, have been covering this and trying to sound the alarms on all of this and do what the president's legal rights were at the time to go out there and try to challenge all of these local elections, the results that they were turning in, I guess you'd say. And he was met by a group of people who decided to, instead of proving that he was wrong in court and going through the facts and sifting through it that way, they targeted him. And the lawfare was just so overwhelming that he was pushed into bankruptcy because of it. And it's not just Giuliani, sadly still. It's people like Jeff Clark, who actually didn't even send the letter that he was alleged to have sent. We now know 100%, which he's always said that he never sent the letter. But he was wrapped up into that Fulton County persecution as well. And then still to this day, right now in D.C., they're trying to just bar him. How do we make these things right? Because the lawfare, the process itself is very stressful, but the financial burden is completely bankrupting these people. So how do we fix this heading into the new year?
It's such an important question. And it's really one of the things I thought about too is, you know, this is why we need people like Giuliani and Jeff Clark in the current administration, people who actually had skin in the game, put their livelihoods on the line for the truth, and have just been completely destroyed and attacked. And it's just been so horrible for what they've had to go through. And we have to make sure that the people that did that to them and the president and so many other innocent people, so many other innocent, you know, just supporters of President Trump, the people who are responsible for that, they need to go to jail. There has to be some accountability and they need to break up, you know, after Charlie Kirk was assassinated, they said, we're going to break up this far left, you know, Antifa, the funding and all of that. And I sure hope they're working on that, but it's the same type of thing here. You need to go after the money. You need to go after the funding behind this lawfare, the people behind the Norm Eisens of the world. You need to approach it like they approached us and they made it all up. I mean, they're talking about RICO charges for tweets about watching OAN. I mean, that's what the case was in Fulton County, but they didn't care. They brought it anyway. We need to take that approach, but actually using the law, because there's so many laws that were broken. They did violate constitutional rights, and this was a criminal conspiracy so deep in spreading multiple states, and there's so many aspects of it, but you need to go to the heart of that. That's what needs to be broken up, and people really have to face accountability. And if we don't get that coupled with the fair elections, I'm so afraid that this will be squandered. All the work that President Trump put in, his life on the line, survived two assassination attempts. By the grace of God, he was able to come back and be the president again. And that is a gift. And we need to get the people under him to start taking it seriously and start, you know, acting as if the country is on the line, because it really is.
Yeah, Liz, it is. And as we head into midterms too, I'm really getting frustrated with Republicans right now, because we do have a majority, even though it's a very narrow margin. We do have a majority. Unfortunately, they have just waited and waited this game out to pass legislation that would secure our elections on a federal level. And it's really upsetting. And again, we have MTG, who's retiring in just a couple of days, will be stepping away from Congress. And it just keeps getting thinner and thinner. And they just don't seem to really be moving on this, which I think is a massive disservice to the president. And I'd like to see him even get more aggressive and push back on this, because I think he's been very, very nice with what these Republicans have done so far. And it's not motivating voters to go out and support them. But, you know, we'll see as we head into the new year how Republicans truly feel, the voters at least, truly do feel about the party itself. But I want to focus on the positive things, because obviously President Trump, he is the busiest working man that I know of. So we have to give him credit when credit's due, and he's done a lot so far. So I kind of want to walk through my list a little bit. Actually, the first one, starting off with one of the best things, I think the most popular thing our government's ever done, that was creating DOGE and going after the reckless government spending. I've never seen something as popular as DOGE before, as we're seeing Nick Shirley's video blow up on the internet with over 100 million views as well. I think it's very obvious the American people are tired of the fraud and tired of their money going to foreign countries. And so I think that's the reason why they pushed so hard against Musk and really went after him as aggressively as they did. Now, DOGE's claim is it's within each department, but asking each department to vet themselves to make sure that money is not being misspent is not really the checks and balances that the people want to see. But when it comes to DOGE, what were your thoughts on this when they launched this?
Oh, it was incredible. And it was a dream come true. Again, as I mentioned, you know, my former life of just every single day writing about the ways fraud and abuse as a reporter, I did this for years. And I loved doing it. I loved exposing it. And to see, you know, President Trump coming back into office and every day, you know, he'd give, you know, some remarks and he would just pull out a list of like, here's all the things we've cut today. And they were always like the most absurd things, you know, you've ever heard. And it's like, finally, this is so amazing. And it was so, it's such important work like that to be exposed. And you were talking about the Somali fraud and the welfare fraud and everything else. I mean, that's what this work is. As well, that to expose that sending an email. Hey, if you're an employee, send an email of the five things you did this week. And the reason they were doing that is because there's federal employees who don't exist. Just like you have the phantom voters, you have the phantom employees. And where is that money going? It's literally just being stolen. And so I think that work was so encouraging. I think it needs to be resurrected in year two. Because he came out so strong with USAID shutting down. I mean, that's something that was unheard of ever happening. Once you get these government programs and they just have a life of their own, right? And they just operate on autopilot. Nobody knows what they're doing. To shut something like that down, that was a huge achievement. I think, you know, you kind of take it for granted because it happened in the early days, but that is a huge deal. And they need to keep going with that in year two, I think, as well.
Yeah, no, I really want them to bring it back. And I think it's something that needs to be brought back. You know, we learned that millions of dollars was being shuffled over to, I believe it was Iraq, for Sesame Street. That was like the peak moment for so many Americans. They're like, all right, we've seen enough here. We've seen enough. Defund everything. And then Mike Benson did an incredible report too this year. It's one of my favorites, where he walks through how USAID was used to buy off independent journalists who were pushing propaganda for the government, for the regime. So yeah, I mean, so much uncovered in that I think is incredible. But you know, the president also did a great job so far at going out there and trying to launch the mass deportations commitment that he laid out during the campaign. One of my favorite moves, obviously, being the Remain in Mexico policy that he brought back. That was a big one. I know recently too, he's got the no travel bans. Countries that we're not letting into our country right now, we're holding off and waiting there. But then he's also got this was a good one. This was the individuals who want to self-deport. He's paying them thousands and thousands of dollars to self-deport. I think we're up to $3,000 per person now just for the holiday season as a nice little bonus for these people to get out of our country. But this saves the American taxpayer so much money rather than using the DHS sources to go out there and have to capture these people. So far, he's north of 2 million, which I think is a good start given the fact that the courts are overcrowded right now. And he's got to fill a lot of those seats, these judges and everything. And they're trying. I see the posts online. They're trying to hire these immigration court judges. So far, things look good for me when it comes to that. Your thoughts, though, on the immigration?
Again, a huge achievement, but also, you know, something that sadly had to take so many resources to undo, you know, the consequences of 2020 and the stolen election. But that is something that they worked on really fast. They closed the border down. Again, proving that the whole Biden years is such a fraud. I mean, obviously they didn't need legislation. They literally just flew people in using taxpayer money, facilitated an invasion. It really is treasonous. And we talk about accountability. That's a whole other aspect of something that they could look into, the immigration policies that were just absolutely illegal. when you think about the fundamental purpose of a nation and sovereignty. I mean, they completely trampled all of that. So this is a huge thing that had to be done. It was hugely popular on the campaign trail. But also, I think more needs to be done as well. One of my top things would be that they did this year was deporting Kilmar Abrego Garcia, or whatever his name is, because, and many millions more like him, because this is destroying our country. It really is. And I know the deep state and the media tried to, you know, prop up this guy and to, oh, he was wrongly deported, which he was not. They tried to use this as like the poster boy, and this, the fake news is still like giving daily updates on this loser. But the fact that they stayed strong and they've continued deporting people like him and falling through on these promises, this is huge. And really the survival of our country depends on this. And you cannot import so many millions of people, and expect your country not to change and not to be hurt. Obviously we've seen the consequences of it, and there's more to do, but I think, you know, they got in there really fast, closed the border down, are expanding the operation. I think they need to keep going.
Yeah, I would agree with that on that front too. Liz, I want to ask you, we only have about 90 seconds left.
Investigators are launching a new high-tech search today for a plane that's
going to take it away from here. But I want to talk specifically about what your, some of your favorite moments are in regards to the Trump administration's first year back in the White House.
Yeah, definitely those two that you mentioned, but there's a lot more. I think the big, beautiful bill, and you got to kind of think of everything in the context of what would have been also, because this is, you know, again, we take it for granted, but if they would have been able to steal the 2024 election, like they did the 2020, we would not have a country. So you really have to think of the consequences and the contrast and how much work President Trump has had to put in to start turning this country around. So the tax cuts, big deal. And I think we'll start to feel that next year. And this country was really hanging by a thread. So people are kind of not as satisfied with how the economy has, you know, not turned back quickly enough, if they think, but it was a huge task. And now we just had one of my favorite moments, gas going down below $3 national average. I mean, it took us to December to get there, but I mean, that's huge, and that's going to keep going down. So that's a huge moment. One of my favorite other moments as well was a cabinet meeting back in April when Tulsi Gabbard, DNI, announced that the electronic voting machines have been used to manipulate elections. And that was a huge moment. Also hopeful that that's a sign of more things to come, because she's been working on that and other people working on that issue. That is a big deal. And I know President Trump hasn't given up on fixing our election. So looking into 2026, I expect to see more on that front. And that was one of my favorite moments, and also just personal moments of when President Trump, he went to the Fed and saw Jerome Powell.
Liz, the commercial break is going to cut you off. Stay put though. We'll get you in just a second. We'll take you on the other side. Hold on 1 second.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Journal. We're still joined by Ms. Liz Harrington, the former spokeswoman for President Trump, as she recaps her favorite 2025 moments from the President of the United States. Liz, you were going over your personal favorites. What else do you have for us?
Yeah, thanks so much. So I was just thinking that just only Trump moments, only Trump can go to the Federal Reserve and just completely destroy Jerome Powell to his face and pull out the documents that show you overspent here, you overspent there, which is another fraud that actually the renovation of that building, which costs like billions of dollars, which needs to be looked into, by the way, and audited. That moment, also day one, when he has the great, you know, rally and he just stops and goes on stage and starts signing executive orders. That's the only Trump moment and really, really fantastic. And one was more recent when he, I think he signed an executive order with about dealing with foster children, and he had a bunch of kids in the White House, and one of them, they were, you know, all kind of like a little shy. He was, you know, trying to give them pens and everything. And one of them asked, well, what's your name? So he said, Donald. And it was just the sweetest. And then they all started laughing and giggling. And it was just the sweetest moment. Like, that's something that a lot of people don't see. But when I got to work for him, you did see it a lot. It's just that's who he is. He has time for everybody. He has interest in everybody. Even if it's a kid, you know, giggling at his first name, you know, he can't go anywhere without being recognized. So when's the last time that somebody asked what his name is? It was a really cute moment. And, something that I love to see, because we are blessed to have a man like President Trump in the White House. We shouldn't take it for granted. It's not going to happen again. So we should enjoy it while we have it.
Yeah, Liz, and that moment was so cute. That poor kid is probably going to get picked on down the line, though, as he gets older, for not knowing that he was speaking to the President of the United States. I'm sure that video will forever live in whatever he does down the line, of course. But, yeah, it was definitely a great one, and we look forward to 2026, of course. Liz Harrington, thank you for joining us, and as always, giving us your insights on all things related to the president, because we could always appreciate it from your perspective. So thank you.
Thanks so much. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Liz. Thank you. All right, folks. In just a little bit, we'll be taking your calls. So if you'd like to join us, like to join the conversation, like to join the show, maybe give me your top three moments of 2025. That's what the next hour of this program is going to be all about. So we'll put the number up on the screen in just a second for you guys to give us a call. It's going to be 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539 is the number you're going to call if you'd like to discuss your favorite moments or even comment on the news we've covered thus far as we head into the third hour of this show. So make sure you join the show and give us a call. There's a lot more to discuss, of course, up ahead. I just saw, and I'll grab it from my phone right now, President Trump. He is like having a storm of Truth Social posts right now. And I feel like it's like keeping up with the president as I constantly am getting these alerts. But he's calling out again the fraud in Minnesota, saying much of the 90%, up to 90% of the fraud in Somalia, in all of this is Somalian fraud. Congresswoman Omar, an ungrateful loser who only complains and never contributes, is one of the many scammers. Did she really marry her husband or her brother? Oh my gosh, all this gets so good. He just keeps roasting Ilhan Omar, and she has to be loving it, because she's someone who is obviously seeking attention. And so the president going after her like this is probably good for her, because she uses it as fundraising material. But again, he's going on and saying low lives like this can only be liable to our country's greatness.
So yeah, I would agree with the president on that. The president, he's over at Mar-a-Lago today and he's getting ready. The only thing really on his calendar today is celebrating New Year's Eve with those at Mar-a-Lago today at 7:30 Eastern time. So he's got some time on his hands to be posting up these posts and we'll keep reading them as they continue on. So a lot more happening over here. Though in the meantime, if you haven't done so already, we've extended the sale regarding the buy one, get one free on select supplements over at thealexjonesstore.com. New year, new you. You all say it. But are you serious about committing to that? Well, you can get serious over at thealexjonesstore.com. Your favorite supplements on sale right now. Buy one, get one free for a couple more hours. Just stop what you're doing right now and head on over to the shop, thealexjonesstore.com.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
With your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you guys are joining us in the third hour of the program. A lot more to dive into, so thank you for staying put. All right, folks, if you heard the great news, Florida is finally catching up with Texas, and they've just officially designated the Muslim Brotherhood in CARE as a terrorist organization. Now, obviously, that doesn't have those groups very, very happy, and they are threatening lawsuits. But Florida Governor Ron DeSantis isn't backing down. In clip 18, he says he actually welcomes those lawsuits. Take a listen.
But we welcome that. I mean, you know, we did do the designation for both the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE. This is something that has been a long time coming. I know the federal government's now working in a similar direction. The legislature is working on statutory laws that are going to impact this area. So I think our executive order is kind of the beginning. I think you're going to see statutory codification of how we handle different terror designations. But I welcome the lawsuit because what will happen is that will give the state of Florida discovery rights.
Well, that's good news for the state of Florida. Joining me to discuss is Aaron Wright. He's running for Texas AG, and he joins us now. You are the first one on this, though, I have to say, the Islam issue. And so it's exciting to have you on the show. What's your reaction to seeing Florida now catching up with Texas?
Well, I'm very happy to see what's happening in Florida. But you're right. Texas led the way on this issue with just last month Governor Abbott declaring the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE as foreign terrorist organizations. But not just that. It was actually Attorney General Ken Paxton who earlier this spring launched a multi-pronged investigation into what's now known as Epic City. They've renamed it to The Meadow to avoid scrutiny. It's a little bit less scary sounding. But Texas has been on the cutting edge of this. And then in particular in this attorney general's race, as I'm campaigning around the state, I was the first one right out of the gate to call the Islamists what they are, which is total anathema to American civilization. I love to see what Florida's doing. And the fact that Governor Abbott in Texas has declared CARE and the Muslim Brotherhood, foreign terrorist organizations, it actually triggers, through that executive action, it triggers dozens of provisions in state law empowering the attorney general to go smoke these organizations out, go after their C3s, their C4s, their corporate entities. And really what I've said as a candidate for attorney general and what I like to see Ken Paxton doing right now is treating the Islamists in Texas like the feds treated the mafia in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. We all knew what they were doing, but how many mob bosses did we put away for committing murder? Probably zero or very few. But what we got them on were on the financial crimes, racketeering, laundering, human trafficking, drug trafficking, other process and financial related crimes mm-hmm. that allowed us to basically suffocate them to such a degree that they could no longer operate. As the Attorney General, I'm going to do that. We are going to smoke out the Islamists in Texas so that they can either self-deport back to their Stone Age countries overseas, or they could just relocate to Ilhan Omar's district and enjoy the Islamification that's happening up there.
I'm sure they would love it. I'm sure they would love it. And I hear the weather is beautiful this time of year as well.
Sure, yeah.
That's what we need to start doing. And, you know, as you say, you've been endorsed by Ken Paxton, which is right. the reason why I was so excited to meet you, because Ken Paxton is the best attorney general we have in the state, just in the country alone.
Right.
Very fierce, going out there, going after yes. these groups and holding them accountable. And he just actually filed this lawsuit against yes. Epic.
Yep.
I know that they want to change their name to the Meadow, but I'm not going to back down anytime soon. We've put a black eye on their reputation. That's why they have this PR group that they hire trying totally. To rebrand them. But this is great news. So he's filed this lawsuit, and it looks like this might be a big issue for them. Specifically, you know, he's saying that they purchased this land. They're going to cause a lot of harm to the land itself. But they also are probably going to track down the money and how they were able to purchase this.
That's
probably what's going on here?
That is what's happening here. Yeah. And that's really what we have to do with all of these Islamist-type groups, but also the Soros-funded groups, these radical left-wing groups that have created an environment of not just anti-Americanism, but really violence, hostility towards our state and our nation and our values, hostility towards our faith. Now, in particular on the Islamic issue, yes, Ken Paxton, when he launched his investigation earlier this spring, he was able to collect all the papers, like just like any government investigation looks like, compile the evidence, work with the Texas State Securities Board, which oversees and enforces state securities law here in the state, compile the package. Texas State Securities Board then made a referral over to the AG's office saying, yeah, we found a bunch of dirt here. That referral then empowered the AG to take action under state law to bring this lawsuit. So again, it's similar to what I said a minute ago. We got to treat these groups like the mafia. It may be difficult to catch the Islamists red-handed holding like below ground their Sharia courts. But what we know is that they're up to no good. And they have misled people about the nature of their corporate enterprise known as Epic City, which was managed by an organization called Capital Community Partners, which they've rebranded and renamed with the PR firms that they've hired. I think that this lawsuit's going to be highly successful. We're going to get them on financial crimes. Now, naturally, CARE, Muslim Brotherhood, the Epic City's lawyers, they are well-heeled with lawyers and PR firms. They're responding and saying, well, this is discriminatory, these are free speech violations, this is an abuse of power. It's BS. We're coming after you. If you don't like what we're doing, you can either submit totally, or you can leave the state of Texas. So we're going to get them on financial crimes, and I think what's important is, to the extent these investigations and lawsuits continue past A.G. Paxton's time, there's only one person that Paxton has trusted and designated as his chosen successor to really carry that mantle forward, and it's me. It's why I'm running for attorney general, so I can keep my foot on the gas to smoke out, remove, and hold accountable the Islamists and their vast network of money laundering schemes, for-profit entities, non-profit entities, and PACs. That's what I'm here to do.
Yeah, we're excited about this because, again, we've been trying our very best to blow the whistle on this. You know, Amy Mack and other incredible journalists, yes. Laura Loomer, have been doing mm-hmm. their best at exposing this. But sadly, there haven't been many politicians who are willing to get into this fight.
Right.
In Dallas alone, where I'm at, 2 years, 48 mosques popped up.
Right.
And a lot of the times when you're selling your property, you know, we've learned this the hard way. My family in New York, my aunt, she sold her farm and then popped up a mosque on that land
right.
shortly after. They don't tell you what they're going to do with the land because they don't want you to hold off on the sale. But this is what's happening right now in Texas as well, and it's a big issue. But again, we haven't heard from these career politicians on this subject matter at all until they started polling, and they realized
right.
Americans really care about this.
Right.
Specifically, I'm going to call out one of the guys who's running against you right now for AG. Let's
yeah.
talk about Chip Roy, because he's obviously been in Congress for a few years
sure.
now, and he's had the opportunity to call this out, but he just recently jumped on board and has been calling this out, and he gives us all these great sound bites. But there's not much in the way of action. And when it comes to who's gotten the endorsement, the blessing of Ken Paxton,
right.
it's been you, not him.
Right.
Where was Chip Roy in all of this?
I don't know where Chip Roy has been. In fact, you know, like you said, this is somebody who jumped in. He read where the polls were at and said, I'm going to take the lead on this and use his platform as a congressman to all of a sudden wake up to the issue. Where has Chip Roy been? He's had almost a decade in Congress to tackle this issue, and yet he's been completely absent from the field taking action. This is why President Trump has been so critical of Chip Roy over the years, calling him a do-nothing grandstander, a rhino, not very smart, not effective. This is why, literally as late as 1 year ago this month, in December of 2024, President Trump was calling for Chip Roy to be removed from Congress as a result of his belligerence, opposition to President Trump, opposition to MAGA voters, opposition to Ken Paxton. This Chip Roy is going to be, he is the United States Congress's most angry, unstable, never Trumper, and has been railing. Remember in January of 2021, Chip Roy called for President Trump to be impeached. He was the first elected official in America to call for Ken Paxton to be removed from office in 2020, and then went on a speaking spree in 2023, urging for the House and the state Senate to impeach and convict Ken Paxton. And so voters aren't going to be fooled by this. What voters are going to see, on the other hand, is they're going to see me, somebody who has been vetted and selected by President Trump to serve in the senior ranks of the Justice Department. When I was the presidentially appointed Senate-confirmed head of the Office of Legal Policy at DOJ, he said Aaron Reitz is a true MAGA attorney and a warrior for the Constitution. This is also why Paxton has endorsed me to succeed him, because of my record litigating, investigating, suing, defending, and appealing on all the major issues that we care about, because my various legal leadership roles, I've never been afraid of my own shadow. I'm here to go to war against the forces of the left. And all I do is I lead legal troops into legal combat to deliver wins for our values. And one of my top targets moving forward is going to be the Islamists in Texas. I love to see what Paxton's doing right now, and we're just going to turn up the heat when I'm elected AG. Chip Roy, on the other hand, you can't trust him. He's already betrayed the president, betrayed Ken Paxton, betrayed MAGA voters, betrayed our country, and flip-flopped on every issue under the sun. You can't rely on him to deliver the wins like I can moving forward.
Yeah, and it's almost like he's trying to rewrite history. Because here's my problem, right? Before he even announced that he was running, I've made several attempts to get him on, not just my show. I was producing other shows, and I was trying to get him on other shows. He'd constantly put out, his team would send me these press releases about all the great things he's doing in Congress, and, you know, no bias, we just wanted to have him on.
Sure.
And they would ignore us, but continue to send us the press releases and want us just to promote the press conferences he was having out in front of the Capitol and other places. And we don't feed into the propaganda, so, you know, we just kind of left it alone. But several times I reached out to him, even on X, I'll ask him, what have you done? Just simple questions. What have you done? And he can't give me a response. And I know he sees when I'm writing, because if I say a specific person's name, he reaches out to them and tries to get them to align with him.
Yeah.
So he's a man who doesn't really have much in the way of actions, and yet he's trying to pretend like he is the strongest, most conservative candidate we have right now. But when Ken Paxton was being targeted, it was a political hit job. It wasn't
totally.
There was no valid reason for them to go after him at all.
Yep.
He jumped on board with the swamp and decided to go after him too. Same thing with President Trump. And he looked very uncomfortable when you guys were on stage a couple of days ago together. Tell us how this went, because you guys were on stage and it looks very uncomfortable if you're Chip Roy.
Yeah, well, and it should be uncomfortable for Chip Roy. Chip is, as you said, I mean, he's trying to rewrite history, or he's trying to exploit people's short memories.
Mm-hmm.
He is thinking, his operating philosophy in this campaign is that they won't remember that I called for Chip Roy, for President Trump to be impeached. His theory is they won't remember that I aligned with Mike Pence to certify the stolen election. They won't remember that I went to the hilt to defend my best friend, he called her, Liz Cheney. They won't remember that. He's hoping that voters won't remember his treacheries against Paxton over the course of many, many years. Now, look, this is part of the reason why he typically will avoid these debates and forums, because here we are with no filter. And I have no choice but to call him out for those treacheries, and voters respond. You know, we came out, a poll came out earlier this month that showed how catastrophic Chip Roy's negatives are. It is true he enjoys higher name ID. Why? Because he's a press release machine. All he does is go on the news and talk, and people say, oh, he's a real fighter. There's no fight.
Mm-mm.
As we say in Texas, it's all hat, no cattle. It's just yelling belligerently red-faced at whatever the thing of the day is, but there's no substance there. You contrast that with my record, litigating, investigating, suing, defending, and appealing on all the major issues that we care about. Election integrity, border security, free speech, religious liberty, pro-life values, pro-family, anti-crime, pro-law enforcement. My record in court, up and down the justice system in both federal and state systems, is vast, and Chip can't hold a candle to it. And so we're calling out Chip for what he is, deeply never Trump, inflicted with a severe case of Trump derangement syndrome, and we're not going to allow him during campaign season to just pretend like he's Mr. Ultra Mega MAGA. He's not. Voters don't buy it.
Yeah, they don't buy it, and that's the issue here. And he's going to learn the hard way. I have a real feeling about that one. I just don't understand the math here as to why he even ran in the first place. You know, I was talking to people in D.C., and they're like, well, it's because the rest of us want him gone from D.C.,
but
we can't sacrifice our seats.
Like most of Chip's career progressions, he is failing upwards. There's almost not a job that he has not been fired from. In fact, when he was Paxton's chief deputy, Paxton fired him. he's worked for Cruz, got fired. He worked for Cornyn, got fired. He's been fired from everything, and right now he's in the United States Congress, and it's good for Republicans to make all the right enemies. Mm-hmm. I've got all the right enemies. Mm-hmm. The right people. When I got confirmed by the United States Senate for my post at DOJ, the senior Democrat on the Senate Judiciary Committee, Dick Durbin, said I was a menace to the rule of law and a danger to democracy. Cory Booker, during my confirmation hearing, said I sent chills down his spine. Now, I don't know if he was flirting with me or
might
what.
Have been flirting.
He might have been flirting with me. He just got married couple weeks ago, but we don't believe it. But in any event, I've got the right enemies. Chip is loathed by all. Mm. He'll never get a chairmanship. He'll never get a committee. He'll never get a subcommittee. He'll never get invited to the White House. And now what is he doing? Now that he's got his congressional pension locked in, he says, oh, I want to try my hand at the next thing. But again, voters won't buy it. And I think that Chip Roy's political career is going to go down in flames here pretty soon.
Yeah, and I think one of his like little punchbacks was that like he's been elected several times, and as if like we want politicians who are career politicians to continue to represent us.
Exactly.
The finger is not on the pulse of the American people nor Texans, and so it's not looking good for him at all, I'd say. I want to switch gears up a little bit, though, because things are looking good in Texas. It looks like the Supreme Court has officially given its blessing regarding the congressional maps for the 2026 midterms. Yeah. Your thought and all of this, because obviously this is a blessing in disguise given the fact that we just got rid of Jasmine Crockett's seat. We'll talk about the latest struggle we have.
Yeah,
but
right.
Your thoughts on the Supreme Court's ruling there?
Look, the Supreme Court got it right. In a 6-3 decision, it made clear what we all knew as the state of Texas was working on its maps, that these were done lawfully, mm-hmm. in accordance with the United States Constitution and in accordance with all the related federal and state statutes. This was a good map drawing exercise. It was legitimate for the state legislature to do what it did. And yet, of course, because I've lived this in my career as a lawyer and litigator on behalf of the state, is you get all these left-wing groups that want to come and sue the state of Texas, and they scream foul. They say racism. They say Voting Rights Act violations. They say Civil Rights Act violations. They say 14th Amendment violations. Been there, done that. I'm familiar with their playbook. And as expected, they lost. Now, we got this bizarre ruling at the district court level with this 2-1 decision where even a Republican judge ruled against the state of Texas, but the Fifth Circuit delivered a win for Texas. And then ultimately, Texas was vindicated in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. What does this mean? It affirms what I just said, which is that the lines were constitutional and legal. But it also means that the practical effects is that Texas will now have better representation in Washington. These lines were redrawn to better reflect the political values of our state, which is to say Texas is Republican, Texas is red, Texas is MAGA, Texas is conservative. And these new lines that adds 5 new Republican congressional seats, mm-hmm. to send Texas voices to Washington, it means that we're going to be better represented. That to me is democracy. When Democrats say our democracy, when they say that Aaron Wright's, as I did when I got confirmed by the Senate, is a danger to democracy, right? We know what they mean by democracy. Yeah. They just mean their radical left-wing communist, you know, version of that, right? This is good for Texas. This is good for the rule of law. The court reached a sound decision. And look, libs are going to seethe and cry over this, but too bad. If they want to try to win their seats, they ought to campaign better. They ought to put up better candidates. They ought to have better policies. They ought to stop allying themselves with the radical fringe of their party. They got to stop putting up people like Jasmine Crockett, who are radical leftists, who's going to go down in flames. This is good. And I'll tell you this, My final thought on this map is this is an example of what good lawyering on behalf of the state of Texas looks like. Ken Paxton took decisive, rapid, energetic, and effective action to defend the maps. My opponents in this race need training wheels just to figure out what they're doing if they ever have a chance of becoming attorney general. With me, I don't need training wheels. Paxton has already designated me as his preferred successor by endorsing me. If the state of Texas, we're going to be dealing with this stuff for years and years to come. Mm-hmm. You need an attorney general who's ready to go to war at the drop of a hat, who knows the offensive and defensive and the special teams playbooks, who can run successful plays just like that and score touchdowns for our movement and for our state. That's what I do. If the keys to this office were in any other hands, I'm sorry, we might not have those maps. But thanks to Paxton and thanks to the work that I have done for Paxton and that I'll do into the future, Texas is going to be defended and vindicated in court.
Yeah, and I think that's really important because we need to see this happen. We need the representation in D.C. because, folks, we sit back and we watch all the time. I mean, Democrats have completely figured this out. They've obviously been manipulating. They've been manipulating the census for quite some time now. They've been trying to capture illegal aliens into their vote to get more seats. And this is a good way to start pushing back on all of these fronts. Before you go, though, obviously you're friends with Ken Paxton. And sure. So we have to get this one in, Jasmine Crockett. Okay, we did a good job. We really fought hard for this country. Our gift, Texas gift to the rest of the country, yeah, was getting rid of her congressional seat, but yeah, now it looks like she's going to try to run for Senate. Obviously, that's not going to go over well. She actually doesn't do math either because she thinks that even though President Trump won Texas by 56+, it was like 56% of the vote,
right,
percentage of the vote, she is now trying to sit there and say, I don't need to earn Trump supporters' votes, and she's going to win anyway. The numbers are so miraculous that they're going to back her, and the numbers against Paxton and her are incredible, and everyone's going to support her, even Trump support. I mean, doesn't make any sense.
No, it makes no sense. But here's an important takeaway, right? The part of the reason why Jasmine Crockett got in this race is not only because she lost her seat, but she actually, even if she didn't lose her seat, she's polling the highest among Democrats. Mm-hmm. This actually goes to show you how radical the Democrat base is right now, that they prefer Jasmine Crockett, who is an unhinged, untalented, unintelligent, wild leftist. I mean, a radical's radical. And yet she's the preferred Democratic nominee for the United States Senate right now. That shows you where the Democrat base is. I expect that Jasmine Crockett will secure the Democratic nomination and then get destroyed by Ken Paxton in the general election come November. So look, I'm here for it. I think it increased the entertainment levels of this race for sure. And so, you know, the memes I think are going to write themselves. We're going to have a good time. And, you know, who knows? I think we should set up a Polymarket betting, page for which accent Jasmine Crockett is going to use each day, depending on which audience. She's just a cipher. Yeah. And a liar. And so, look, welcome to the party, Jasmine. You're going to get destroyed.
It's good to see, though. You know, Sarah Gonzalez called her out to her face, and she didn't like it. Yeah. She was very caught off guard, and they had to drag Sarah out of one of her events to get her to stop doing what she was doing. But Sarah was right. She fakes it. She went to private school. I mean, she pretends to be this woman who, I guess she's just trying to make herself feel like she's an average American and this is her way of doing it. The exact quote that Sarah Gonzalez used was fake ghetto hood rat. she probably
accurate.
That trademark.
Yeah. Accurate, yes.
It's pretty accurate, but her video, and we've got about 30 seconds left, but her video, her announcement video, is just her face. And Jake Tapper asked her about it. And she's like, we wanted to try something different because Trump finds me as a threat.
Yeah, right. But actually, what's funny about her video is she's just so enamored with herself. Yeah. You can just see, and you know, she's looking off camera while Trump is saying, and then it's like this dramatic, and I can't do the hair flip. Obviously, you could do this, but turns directly to the camera and is like, I'm here to be a boss. And it's like, get out of here, Jasmine. Yeah. Nobody buys your sass. Nobody is here for this, and you're going to lose. Good luck.
Good luck to Jasmine Crockett. It's going to be a fun one, though. You know, somebody who has to do a three-hour show every single day. It will be unlimited content.
Unlimited content.
So right. I look forward to a debate, too. I really hope she gets far enough into this where her and Ken could be on stage together debating, because I think that's going to be endless laughs.
Agree.
Aaron, thank you for joining us. To our audience who want to learn more about your campaign, where can they head to?
Well, I would encourage people to go to my website, aaronwrights.com. AaronReitz. Or you could just Google my name on any social media platform, Aaron Reitz, Reitz. Very active on X, Facebook, Instagram, and the whole nine yards. So we look forward to earning people's support before the end of the year, and we'll see folks out on the campaign trail.
We look forward to that as well. Folks, right now, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We have 40% off going on site-wide over at thealexjonesstore.com, and it's time to get your Christmas gifts ordered. Don't be late, because you don't want to sit there and hope and pray that your order gets here in time. Now is the best time to do that. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right this second. No promo code needed for that 40% off discount.
I'm going to say this right now. We have survived and battled the federal and state courts, the Democratic Party, the whole nine yards. And we have great products, and I appreciate all your support. But 70-plus percent of the money that comes in is the legal cost. If we didn't have those battles going, we'd be 24 hours a day, as I've always planned, and totally kicking ass. But it's part of the cost of the fight in this information war, and I appreciate you keeping us here. But with everything going on, we've got about a $300,000 underage right now and need to have the money for payroll and bandwidth and all the things we're doing. This is, and it's not a Chicken Little thing or the sky's falling or boy who cried wolf. You've seen the attacks. You've seen the news. You've seen us battling. You know, God, you know, pulls us out right at the last minute. And I know we're going to get massive support of the successful shutting this down. People are going to be, whoa. But regardless, the products are insane. But at InfoWarsStore.com, with the bankruptcy and the receiver, they don't let us get a lot of new products, all that. We have the collectible limited edition Save InfoWars posters. We have a chance at an auction next month with the state. If they don't let it be a real auction, the good guys can't buy InfoWars, we'll be shut down. And I just want to fight to the end, and whatever happens, happens. But we have the collectible posters for $25, unsigned, $100 signed. That's a lot of money, I know. It's, the point is, it's a fundraiser. You're opting in to do that. It's beautiful posters, three of them. But if you want to just give a straight donation on the front page of InfoWarsStore.com, you can just give a straight donation. The credit card fees are like 4% for us, and then we get 96% of the money to actually run the operation. So we're winning in court. We're having a lot of big effects. I'm not going to spend hours explaining it all to you, but we're down to the last round here right now, and we need the funds. And you know the show delivers the truth. It has a major effect. We influence the White House. Getting a lot of good stuff happening. It's a valuable thing in the info war to keep on air. So go to InfoWarsStore.com, and I'm asking you humbly for a straight donation, $5, $50, $100. Give a straight donation if you want, or if you want one of the posters, signed or unsigned, as a memento that you stood up for the Republic at a key time. We got a little bit of the fish oil back in, a little bit of the bodies back in. That's selling out quickly. The receiver let us do that. But none of this goes to the plaintiffs. None of this goes to the bad guys. It's literally in the red right now, okay, with what we got projected in the next month. I need the funds now. Please make a donation. This is the critical time. TheAlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. If InfoWars gets shut down, that's our sponsor for the new network that's already been built, but it's also funding InfoWars, and there's not enough coming in. So you can support either way. TheAlexJonesStore.com, the ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, the bovine colostrum, all the t-shirts, that's great. But if you want to straight up support and know it all goes to it, make a donation or get one of the posters at InfoWarsStore.com. It's up to you. Please take action now.
Wake up in a world trying to drain your light. Screens got you numb, keep you foggy at night. They want you tired, unfocused, slow. But I crack the code, now the voltage flows. Clean energy, no crash, no fade. Mind sharp like a blade when the system plays games. From the gym to the grind to the war for your mind. This ain't luck, nah, this is designed. Ultimate power.
Something even better than Turbo Force, filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
American Journal. It's good to have you guys here. Harrison Smith joining us, and he was just saying the introduction. It feels kind of weird that his name's not playing.
You're right. American Journal with Brianna Morello. What?
Well, listen, Harrison, if you want your morning slot back, I won't fight you.
Please.
I don't mind sleeping in.
I hardly made it in at 10 a.m. today. I woke up at 9:30 like, oh, crap. You got to get in.
Dang it. I thought I was going to sell you on this.
No way, man. No, I do. I miss this crew. I miss this studio quite a bit. I miss this audience. You know, people don't, they get, you know, they listen in the morning and they don't follow you in the afternoon. That's what I'm learning.
Oh.
It's okay. It's all right.
They join. Make sure you guys join them on the War Room every day, okay?
I miss you guys.
He misses you. And then call in.
Yeah.
And give him some advice.
Yeah, please.
Unsolicited advice. Harris, I want to get into this because we're getting more and more documents. We're kind of here at InfoWars. We're sifting through the document dump that just happened by the DOJ early this morning, of course. It was about 7 in the morning when they dropped thousands of documents regarding some of them. President Trump is in these documents as well as others. And so, you know, you and I were going to go back and forth on what we're learning in all of this. I guess we could go to the first one in regards to the documents that were being sent back and forth regarding the Black Book. Now, This is the interesting part, right? Because it's kind of confusing, right? We know that there's a Black Book that has been made public record. But in regards to all of this, the FBI is passing it around, specifically the Human Trafficking Division, back in 2019. They were passing around an unredacted version. Now, again, the reason why I was like, wait a minute, hold on, this sounds quite strange, because I don't remember we were ever told about this. It could be confused for the client list. We don't have an actual client list. But how is the FBI and the DOJ unable to formulate an actual client list when they have the Black Book itself, the flight logs? I mean, they had all these PDFs they were shipping back and forth. And even in one of these emails, I mean, the Palm Beach police report, and then you have Pam Bondi who came out back in July and told us that, oh no, we don't actually have a client list, but this is all you'd really need to make a client list, right?
Yeah, the problem the FBI has is that they're lying. Of course they know. I mean, look, it's not just the client list. They had hard drives and videos and the blackmail, the photographs. Like, the verbiage here is imprecise, right? So it's like, there is no list. And it's like, well, there's a Black Book. There's an address book with all the people that he knew. Were they all clients? Not necessarily. So, yeah, okay, there isn't a list that Jeffrey Epstein put out on Word document that says, like, my clients and their proclivities, right? Like, that. Okay, that doesn't exist. But we know who he went around with, and we know who he provided services to, so you can make a list out of that. The redactions are not helpful. In fact, they're actually like providing less clarity. There are things like a lot of the contact book, the address book that's been released recently, had already been released before, but had been released unredacted before. And so one example people are posting is it'll say like Michael Jackson, and in the latest release, it's Michael Jackson and then a big black box. And so it makes it look like it's Michael Jackson's information there. In the unredacted version that came out years ago, it says Michael Jackson, and then under it, his contact info is for, like, his lawyer. And it's, you know, it's not Michael Jackson's contact info. It's Michael Jackson's professional, you know, agent's info or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are little subtleties like that where, okay, the insinuation is this is Michael Jackson's personal information in this list, but in reality, it was a professional contact. So, I mean, obviously, there's pictures of Michael Jackson. They were together. But that's just an example of how, like, we're actually getting less clarity as these things are being released.
Yeah.
We're actually, it's becoming more difficult to sort of get your finger on exactly who was doing what when. So, you know, they're making the most out of this release. And at this point, with so many of these things, like, our system is so corrupt. It's so impenetrable at this point. You kind of have to just assume everything is true and untrue at the same time. It exists and it doesn't exist. It's like we're in Schrodinger's reality where we haven't opened the box. The cat is dead and alive at the same time. And that's just how you have to approach the world. These are the same thing with like Charlie Kirk and all the suspicions about who really killed him. It's like we know through our official organs, we will never get the truth. We're never going to get a fully fledged, unredacted, uncensored, truthful, you know, recitation of Jeffrey Epstein, who he was, what he did, and who he was working for. We're just never going to get that ever. We can get hints at that. We can get close to that. But, you know, I've been saying for years, it's like the Epstein list, we're never getting it. It doesn't exist. If we do get it, it won't be the real thing. It's just, you know, maybe there's a Rolodex somewhere in some vault in an FBI safe house, or maybe it was picked up by an agent and squirreled away somewhere. But we're never going to get it. And what we do get is going to be designed to be released by the people in power in order to progress a certain idea, whether that's the factual information in the list or they're going to block out information to give a different impression. You have to just approach this with the idea that everybody is lying about everything the entire time. And knowing that and understanding that, you can still get to the truth through the lies. You can still glean information and reality from all the deception, but you don't take absolutely anything at face value.
Yeah, and I think that's what President Trump was trying to do. He's referred to this as a hoax, and obviously it's not the proper way to describe any of this.
Yeah, yeah.
It's definitely not a hoax. There's definitely a ton of victims out there, and they were not appreciative of those comments. But yesterday, he kind of got me fired up because there was a clip. We're going to play clip four for you in a second because he was talking, and he was asked specifically about the Clinton photos that were populating online.
Yeah, that his response was weird.
Very weird. And then all of a sudden the next day, these Trump documents are released in the next latest dump, and the DOJ putting out a disclaimer saying, hey, these were politically motivated. And I don't doubt that. I just don't like his response. Take a listen.
Were you surprised by the number of photos of Bill Clinton in the Epstein files? And can you commit to their full... And were you surprised by the number of photos of Bill Clinton in the Epstein files? And can you commit to their full release by the end of the year? Some of the victims were protesting that too many of them were redacted.
I know. There are a lot of people that are angry about all of the pictures of other people, you know. But I think it's terrible. Look, I don't like the... I like Bill Clinton. I've always gotten along with Bill Clinton. I've been nice to him. He's been nice to me. We've always gotten along. Respect him. I hate to see photos come out of him, but this is what the Democrats, mostly Democrats, and a couple of bad Republicans are asking for. So they're giving their photos of me, too. Everybody was friendly with this guy, either friendly or not friendly, but they were, you know, he was around. He was all over Palm Beach and other places. The head of Harvard was his best friend, Larry Summers. And Bill Clinton was a friend of his, but everybody was. I actually threw him out of Mar-a-Lago. And as a person that was in Mar-a-Lago, I threw him out. This is Mar-a-Lago. It's the hottest place in... I think it's the hottest place in the world, but it's the hottest place in Florida. And everybody would come here. He'd come here. We actually threw him out. But, no, I don't like the pictures of Bill Clinton being shown. I don't like the pictures of other people being shown. I think it's a terrible thing. I think Bill Clinton's a big boy. He can handle it. But you probably have pictures being exposed of other people that innocently met Jeffrey Epstein years ago, many years ago, and they're, you know, highly respected bankers and lawyers and others, and they'll end up, because of guys like Massey, who's a real lowlife, whose polls are down to about 9%, by the way, in the great state of Kentucky. If you look at Kentucky, Kentucky is such a great place, but I don't know, they've got a couple of people in there that are very strange in terms of leadership, but Massey's a loser. And he likes it, and that he works with the Democrats. He's just being used by the Democrats, because what this whole thing is with Epstein is a way of trying to deflect from the tremendous success that the Republican Party has. Like, for instance, today we're building the biggest ships in the world.
He's making this all about Massey, just such a strange way to go about this. All Massey's doing is advocating for sex crimes victims. And yes, I understand it's feeding into the left. They all wanted to push for this and they suddenly all went away when they realized that there was really nothing to see here. But your reaction to him referring to Clinton as someone he highly respects, even though the images that are coming out have redacted faces of the victims, well, we're told victims are redacted, of girls who we don't know their age, but they definitely don't look a day over 25 from the bodies alone. And they're just sitting and hanging out with Bill Clinton, the guy he respects.
You know, I don't know what to make of it. We played that clip when it first broke on War Room yesterday.
Yeah.
But only the first half. And I'm sitting here being like, how could this get any worse? And then he goes into Thomas Massey and it's like, oh, what? Like, yeah, throw that in the mix.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder why, that's just an interesting overlap. Like it is interesting that we've got, you know, all these like political beefs, between Massey and MAGA. It's mostly centered around Israel, which of course is who I think, Jeffrey Epstein was working for. So, you know, it all goes back to that. I don't get it. I honestly don't get it for a couple reasons. One, because Bill Clinton was Jeffrey Epstein's best friend. Like there are all these articles these days going, Jeffrey Epstein called Donald Trump his best friend. It's like, yeah, after Trump was president and he just arrested Epstein and Epstein was working with, you know, a fellow anti-Trumper to be like, what can, you know, hey, you're a disgraced pedophile. Let's associate you with Trump. Like real sophisticated psyop there. Real sophisticated psyop you have going there. But like Donald Trump was one of the first people to call this out. We played the clip last week on War Room. Donald Trump in 2015 being asked about Epstein and just without reservations before he was the candidate, before he was the nominee for the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. And he goes, oh, Epstein, he was a bad dude. That island, there was some weird stuff that happened on that island. You should ask Prince Andrew about that. Right? Just like, that was his response. Mm-hmm. Totally open. He didn't try to cover it up. So, I mean, the idea that this was somehow pushed by the Democrats, this is a beast entirely of Trump's own making, so that doesn't even make sense. It's almost like a flashback to 2016, where it's like Trump is treating these people in a way that he wants to be treated. He's actually being very Christian in a weird way, but he's got this idea of like, Bill Clinton was the president, I will respect the office of the presidency, then when I'm president, they will respect the office of the presidency. And it's like, dude, it's been 10 years. How can you still think that's the case? Like, what is going on? How does he not understand? Or is he just trying to cover it up because he's going, oh, if I make a big deal out of this, it'll look hypocritical when my name's in it. I'm sure that's part of it too. But why doesn't he just go for the jugular? Why doesn't he just go, Bill Clinton's all over this. He's a scumbag. He's a dirtbag. His wife made up the Russia hoax. I mean, Clinton, the Clintons, have done more damage to Donald Trump, have caused him more pain, more grief, more suffering than maybe any other group of people. And he's sitting there defending Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Make it make sense. I don't get it. I don't understand why he would defend this. And there's a couple things to this. For one, when investigators would ask Epstein's victims about who else was involved, they wouldn't say like, you were with Jeffrey Epstein. Was Bill Clinton ever there? Right? They weren't asking them leading questions. They would simply ask the open-ended question, We're looking at Jeffrey Epstein. Who else should we look at? Who else was involved in this? And like four of them immediately said Bill Clinton. Not in like, what other big American politicians are in on this? Just the open-end question, who was second to Jeffrey Epstein in this operation? And the victims themselves answered, apropos of nothing, Bill Clinton. He was the guy. He was the next guy up. The other thing was that I was on Alex Stein's show last year with one of the Epstein victims. And she recounted how she was in South Africa, was introduced to Jeffrey Epstein by Bill Clinton, who called Jeffrey Epstein the King of America. So it's like, here's this scumbag, scam artist, Bill Clinton, who was best friends with Jeffrey Epstein, who was his, you know, best pal and most, you know, beloved client. He probably had the whole punch card, you know, whatever the special offer is, whatever the mug club deal for Jeffrey Epstein's rape network happened to be. Bill Clinton was a premium subscriber. And then Donald Trump comes out and tries to downplay and then starts attacking Thomas Massie. It's like, this is outrageous. This is ridiculous. And again, it's like, I don't know how you can complain about people talking about Israel so much when like, that's what it all goes back to. That's who Jeffrey Epstein was working for. That's what Thomas Massie is standing up against. That's what all of this is about. So, you know, it's infuriating and it should have never happened. And it's entirely Trump's fault because he was the guy exposing Jeffrey Epstein until this year when I'm sure, you know, he determined it was either more convenient to use that information as leverage to try to get the ceasefire in Gaza. After all, we had J.D. Vance saying, and when asked about this, we had to use leverage to get the peace deal in Gaza. That could have been financial, that could have been economic or military leverage, or it could have been sexual blackmail leverage. We don't know. So maybe he's doing that, but I honestly don't know. I mean, Trump's always been an agent of chaos, but there's always been an underlying through line that you go, okay, I can see what he's trying to do. I can see what his intentions are. When it comes to Jeffrey Epstein, it is, everything's out the window. Everything is reversed every 6 hours. Everything is a hoax until it's not. It's just kind of ridiculous. Yeah, Trump, this is like the perfect headline, right? Trump breaks silence on Epstein files to defend Bill Clinton. Like, what?
Yeah.
Why? What?
It's insanity. And then Bill Clinton's also put out a statement saying, release all the files. And then he's also criticizing the DOJ under Trump, saying that it's politically motivated what they're doing right now and that they need to release everything because that clears him somehow, some way.
Uh-huh.
We all know that's not the case, though. Or we all think, I should say, well, in my opinion, because you always have to say it like that. But the reality of it is Harrison is, I mean, they have been along this cover-up for Bill Clinton for quite some time now. I mean, obviously, the Monica Lewinsky stuff was just like the top of it. And nobody else wanted to dig into all the creepy things that this man was doing. And they just let that all go by and pass by. And everyone cheers for him when they see Bill Clinton in public. But this is a guy who should be ashamed to show his face in public.
Well, you know, there's an interesting twist to that. I mean, Monica Lewinsky was likely a honeypot operation herself. She was probably tied into the Epstein network, and she was probably placed in there to seduce Bill Clinton to get...
I don't think it takes much.
Yeah. It's not exactly a difficult mission to be sent on.
Look at Hillary.
Mission impossible. You, a voluptuous young woman, are going to try to seduce Bill Clinton. Good luck.
Yeah. Well, we know this is politically motivated, right? Because the two things that we found so far that include President Trump's name came out in 2020. And this is like, if it wasn't such a serious topic, I'd be laughing right now because it's hard to have a straight face with this. Number one, this looks like this is the Southern District of New York, which as soon as you say that word or that you say that specifically, everyone's red flags go up. But they're talking about President Trump being on these flight logs on Epstein's private jet more than previously reported. And they're specifically putting this in there and saying just that, at least 8 flights between 93 and 96. And then they even say that, you know, on some of these flights, his daughter Tiffany was on board and so was Eric. And then they also say that in 93 that there was a flight where it was just the two of them, both Epstein and Trump. And then they say that there was another incident where there was 3 of them on board. We don't know who the third passenger is. It's then someone who's 20 years old. But then you turn to this, and we also just found this one as well. You know, Matt's been working really hard at pulling all this information together for us. There's an FBI intake form, which they always look at the file date. It's filed in 2020, of course, right? Mm. Right at the time when they were trying their very best to push him out of the election, of course. Maybe backup plan if they didn't have the election fraud down to a T. But they go into detail about how some cab driver, some limousine driver, I can't even speak today, apparently said that he overheard a phone call where Donald Trump had raped her along with Jeffrey Epstein.
Wait. Sorry, let me get this straight. So in 2020, a complaint was filed. When was this supposed to have taken place?
Let's see. This was taking place on Christmas Eve in 1999, or a day prior, was visiting his son, who he had, sorry, the ink on this was really bad, had with blank years prior, began talking to blank as she seemed to be acting strange and asked if he needed a ride home. They don't really have the best ink over at the FBI, apparently.
But regardless, you have...
They're taking this back to 95, though, yes.
Okay, so a complaint in 2020 about a conversation overheard by a limo driver in 1995? It's
correct.
Like, okay, bombshell, smoking gun here. We finally got him this time.
Yeah, I mean, literally, it's 95, and then this was filed in 2020. So again, I mean, this is a complaint. Obviously, this didn't have much in the way of leverage on it because there's nothing here besides some guy overheard a conversation. But I mean, this is what they've been trying to throw his way. I don't know why he's still allowing this to happen. Just come out swing. Just say, hey, listen, there was a report that was made like in 2020, right by the election time, where they're obviously trying to take me out. It's politically motivated. Where just say it yourself. Why wait until the Epstein files dropped to let the American people know that this was done in the first place? If he would have controlled the narrative, he would have controlled all of this from day one.
You know, I keep seeing this with Trump's administration. They always wait until the story breaks, yeah, and then they respond to it. Same thing happened with, and it's like extremely suspicious, right? You've got Steve Baker, which, you know, hope he's doing better.
Yeah, he's awake and he's speaking.
Yeah, that's fantastic news. I'm very suspicious of, you know, what happened to him.
Yeah.
But, you know, he comes out with this thing about the gate of the woman who they think is the Capitol bomber. And then like a week later, they're like, oh, we found the Capitol bomber. Actually, it's this black guy over here. You're like, case closed. And it's like,
he's
all right.
He's autistic and we have the body cam footage. He needs to be, there's someone explaining to him, Harrison, that he's receiving a ticket because he drove too close to another vehicle that he crashed into. And he's really struggling to understand this. So this isn't someone who's a mastermind trying to take down the RNC and DNC. This is someone who is barely getting by, unfortunately, with developmental issues.
Right. There's a lot of reasons to be suspicious of that story,
yeah,
you know, not least which is his mental competency. But mm-hmm, the timing of it, it's like, okay, if you had just come out and made this arrest a month ago, it would look a hell of a lot less suspicious than right after the big expose about the Capitol police officer. Or, you know, they did it again. I'm blanking on when it was. Well, I mean, they do it with like Charlie Kirk and the investigation into the assassination. It's like they're constantly, you know, oh, you know what it was? It was actually the assassination in Butler. It was Tucker Carlson coming out with all that information about the shooter there. And
Thomas
then,
Crooks, yeah.
Yeah, and then the FBI comes out and goes, well, we've been doing this many interviews and we have this much information. It's like, well, okay, you've given us none of that. For the last year, we've had no updates, no press conferences, no nothing. So then independent investigators go out, research it, find it.
Yeah, Harrison, we got it just what Tucker did. We got the same document that Tucker was given. And it's all authentic. And in fact, Tucker tried reaching out, and so did I, for comment from the FBI. And they told Tucker Carlson, how do you know this is authentic? And they tried to challenge his work. And then I reached out to you for comments because I was told that this individual tried coming forward to give this crook's social media presence information to the FBI. And I was told that the FBI was unwilling to take it on. And I asked them about this and they ignored me. But then, in case you're wondering, shortly after it started going viral, the information that we had uncovered from this and started exposing, the FBI did put out a statement referring to us as false media reporting, even though we gave them the opportunity to speak out before it was released.
And that's, and see, this is the problem. It's like they're acting suspicious. Like, okay, if you have all this info, give it to us. But when you wait until it's exposed and then you come out and go, well, yeah, we've known this whole time. It's like, okay. You're lying. Like, I don't know what else to tell you. You're lying. So they should have come out and just released all this. The fact they had to make the bill go to a vote and had to, you know, pass a law through Congress. It's ridiculous. They should have just released all of this. They should have done it early on and none of this would have been an issue. And that's why I say it's a, you know, problem entirely of Trump's making. I mean, you can go back. There's the Internet Archive. There's, you know, you can go back in Google News. The Democrats pretended that the concept of elite pedophilia didn't exist for 10 years. They pretended that Jeffrey Epstein was a hoax because they were trying to protect Clinton, but they would go so far as to connect all claims of pedophilia or human trafficking to QAnon, and it was all BS. Like, they spent 10 years actually making it a lot easier for human traffickers. And the media companies who had the stories about Epstein spent 10 years crushing those stories, allowing the abuse to continue the entire time. And now they're going to come out and say, actually, you know, release the Epstein files. It's like we're an upside down nonsense Twilight Zone world. And it's because everybody's being dishonest all the time. Just be honest about it. We get it. We get it. There's a giant pedophile blackmail network that runs our country. We understand. We've known this for a while. You freaks go dress up in robes in the woods and pretend to burn a body into an owl god. Like, yes, we get it. You're all degenerate freaks. Like, this isn't a surprise. Give us the truth so we can replace you with people that are honest. It's all self-preservation at this point from the powers that be. I did not know the thing about the flight. So that is interesting.
Yeah.
I'll say it's not exactly condemnatory because, you know, Epstein wasn't caught officially until the early 2000s. So,
by the way, that's just an email from someone at the Southern District of New York.
So,
this
could potentially be
that they maybe saw this coming and they wanted to create a FOIA trail. And if anyone would request, this is what we'll give them.
Right.
And that email would be included. There's no document to actually back that up as of yet.
That is very interesting. He's listed as a passenger on at least 8 flights, but 93 and 96. I mean,
no one knew back then.
Yeah, nobody knew. I mean, he might have known. You also, I mean, there's not so many billionaires in the world, and all the billionaires know each other. Like, and Trump mentioned that, I think, in the clip we just watched, right? He's like, everybody knew this guy, everybody. And it's like, well, if you're in a community that has, you know, 2,000 people in the entire country, and you all share planes, and you all share private islands, like, I was never all that suspicious of Trump being like, yeah, a guy hitched a ride on his plane. That's what you do when you own planes. Like, okay, that makes sense to me. Yeah. It's the people like Bill Gates that go visit his island like 30 times. That to me is like, the example I always use is, you know, my grandparents live in a small town in Colorado, and I know that place like the back of my hand. Like, I know all the little alleys. I know all the little trails. Like, I know it really well. I haven't been there 30 times, right? Like, yeah, that would be me going twice a year for the last 15 years. It's so many times. So it's like stuff like that. It's like he was almost living on that island. You don't go somewhere 30 times and then go, I don't know, did I ever go there? Like, that stuff to me is ridiculous. And there's so much of that with so many other people. Donald Trump flying on the plane, supposedly, allegedly. It doesn't concern me that much. But, you know, Trump's behavior is inexplicable. So
we're still
uncovering this, I guess.
No, it makes it worse. And I want to hear from Bill Gates's ex-wife, because I think that's absolutely egregious that she settled that divorce so quickly after alluding to that she knew a little bit more. But Harrison Smith, you do a great job over in War Room. Everyone, make sure you go tune into War Room. He misses you.
Please, I do.
Yes. Well, we appreciate you being here, Harrison. Thank you so much for jumping on with us.
This has been so fun. Thank you.
It's been a blast. It's been a blast. Folks at home, Alex is next on the Alex Jones Show. Don't go anywhere, there's more to discuss.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula, you like it?
I did and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after The Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Extremist threats continue to threaten Christmas and New Year's celebrations worldwide. In Germany, security forces arrested 5 men, including a suspected imam, for planning a vehicle ramming attack on a Christmas market in Bavaria.
And this comes after heightened security measures were put in place following car ramming attack at a Christmas market in the city of Magdeburg last year, which killed 6 people and injured more than 300. And authorities say he called for the attack to be carried out with the aim of killing or injuring as many people as possible at the market.
In Poland, a 19-year-old student was detained for allegedly preparing an Islamic State-inspired bombing at a Christmas market, while Turkish police conducted raids detaining over 115 suspected ISIS members accused of plotting attacks on churches, synagogues, and New Year's gatherings during the festive period.
Authorities have taken dramatic action ahead of the holiday season. More than 100 suspected members of the Islamic State group have been arrested in a massive counter-terrorism sweep. Remember, Turkey shares a long border with Syria, nearly 900 kilometers, where jihadist groups remain active. That proximity has made the region a key concern for the Turkish security forces. And this operation comes shortly after a deadly attack in Syria on December 13, where a lone ISIS gunman, remember, killed 2 U.S. soldiers and an American civilian.
This is a much-needed and much-welcome message to every enemy of America in the world that if you harm, and the president put in caps in his True Social, if you harm or threaten any American, especially our servicemen, he will hit you harder than you have ever been hit before. And so those people in ISIS, or whether or not they're in ISIS, I'm not sure, who are getting hammered tonight. A-10s mean they're close. They're in close and they're pounding the ground. This is the best thing President Trump could do to protect American troops and civilians abroad. I applaud him completely.
Back in Turkey, was orchestrating suicide attacks targeting civilians in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Turkey, and Europe.
The Islamic State also issued explicit threats urging supporters to turn the holiday into a season of terror.
Islamic State put out, a sort of press release. It was described as a newsletter, whatever that means, calling for the Christmas period to become a season of terror, attacking Christians and Jews. And they mocked the fact that we've taken security measures at our Christmas markets, like those hostile vehicle mitigation bollards that we saw recently at Birmingham Christmas Market. And we've seen all sorts of Christmas markets being patrolled by armed police. This is a quote. They said, to engage crowds of Christians and Jews in the heart of Europe, America, and the Jewish state, running them over with buses, beating them, and smashing them with heavy hammers. And we've seen across Europe, we've seen in Germany, in Belgium, in France, nativity scenes have been destroyed, baby Jesus statues have been decapitated and stolen, a donkey was actually punched in the face.
But it wasn't just limited to Islamic hatred. Hindu nationalist groups intensified attacks amid the Christmas season also. Reports documented over 700 incidents of violence against Christians throughout the year, including assaults on carolers, vandalism of church decorations, disruptions of prayer meetings, and mob harassment, with organizations like the Vishwa Hindu Parishad urging Hindus to boycott the festival. While New Year's has become a display of global cowardice.
In Times Square at this time, we are continually operating in a heightened threat, and please be conscious of your surroundings.
Well, federal agents have arrested a Texas man for allegedly trying to help ISIS. The newly uncovered plot comes as DHS issues a warning urging people to remain vigilant during their New Year's Eve celebrations.
Federal charges have been filed against this ISIS sympathizer here in Texas, so he's charged with trying to give bomb-making materials to an undercover FBI agent who was posing as an ISIS member.
Just this month, a couple of weeks ago, the FBI announced a foiled plot in California where suspects allegedly planned to plant bombs to go off on New Year's Eve at several communities in Southern California. Five people were taken into custody. And of course, it's been almost 1 year exactly since that attack in New Orleans, just hours after 2025 officially rang in. The suspect drove a truck into a crowd, killing 14 innocent people. You see them right there. He was later killed by police. Authorities are working to keep New Orleans and other cities large and small across the country safe.
John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Wake up in a world trying to drain your light. Screens got you numb, keep you foggy at night. They want you tired, unfocused, slow. But I cracked the code, now the voltage flows. Clean energy, no crash, no fade. Mind sharp like a blade when the system plays games. From the gym to the grind to the war for your mind to say, luck, nah, this is designed. Ultimate power.
Something even better than Turbo Force, filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at thealexshowstore.com.
To the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're glad you're all joining us today. It was a very chaotic weekend, a lot going on all around the world. Specifically, though, our troops. It was devastating to learn of the news in Syria that three Americans lost their lives. It was, according to the Pentagon, two troops, National Guardsmen from Iowa, and an interpreter who, according to their account, the Pentagon's account, there was a lone gunman who apparently in an ambush did carry out this attack. Now, the Pentagon telling me that they do believe this lone gunman was acting on behalf of ISIS. That's what they're claiming right now, that we're waiting for more information. But apparently this individual was somebody who used to also work and fight with the Syrian forces. So they're claiming that he parted ways and has since gone to fight for ISIS, and that this is in a region where the current Syrian government doesn't have any control. And the administration has been very persistent on pushing that issue, that this isn't a region that they do not have control over. Now, President Trump at Clip 12 reacted to the announcement that these three Americans did lose their lives due to this Islamic terrorist attack in Syria. Take a listen.
We mourn the loss of three great patriots in Syria. You know how it happened, an ambush, terrible. We also have three wounded that seem to be doing pretty well. But we mourn the loss. These are three great people. And it's just a terrible thing. Syria, by the way, was fighting along with us. The president, the new president of Syria is, as they told me, and I'm not surprised, he's devastated by what happened. This was an ISIS attack on us and Syria. And again, we mourn the loss and we pray for them and their parents and their loved ones.
Now, I'm struggling to believe that the Syrian president is devastated by the news that Americans were killed in Syria. Just keep in mind, folks, this is one of the former leaders of al-Qaeda. He was an individual who was obviously very high up. We actually had a $10 million bounty on his head, and suddenly now he is an ally of the United States, which I really do truly struggle with. I cannot believe that this individual is really devastated to learn that this ISIS lone gunman carried out this attack, taking the lives of three Americans and injuring several others as well during this ambush. Now, again, like I keep telling you, the Pentagon not giving much in the way of information, but telling me specifically that this attack took place in an area where the Syrian president does not have control, and their initial assessment will likely be carried, that it was likely carried out by an ISIS terrorist. So that's what they're telling me right now. I still do not have further information. I know there were some reports of a name circulating online. I asked. I have not yet heard back. They did tell me they would follow up with me on that front, though. Joining me to help kind of dive into all of this related to Syria and why the United States is even there in the first place, please welcome to the show, Colonel Rob Manis. He is the host of the Rob Manis Show, which airs on Worldview Tube Network. And of course, folks, he is available Monday through Thursday, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern time as well. Welcome to the show, Colonel Manis. It's good to have you on the show. You know, we're excited to have you here. I know you have an extensive background. Although you are retired, you have served 32 years in our Air Force as a combat vet. So we are privileged to have you on this program today and to get your input on all of this. But obviously the news is devastating. And to hear that three Americans lost their lives in Syria, two troops and one individual being an interpreter, is very, very upsetting. There are also several others who have been injured in all of this. They're claiming it's a lone gunman who was acting on behalf of ISIS. But they're also claiming that the Syrian president is both devastated and doesn't have control over the region. What do you make of just that initial announcement coming out of the Pentagon?
You know, there's some on-the-ground reporting, as you pointed out, that says this individual is somebody that was inside the Syrian security forces. And then the government reporting, even the information that's being fed to the president, clearly says that it's isolated to the ISIS network. So we have a lot of questions to get answered there, Brianna. And thank you so much for having me on. And, you know, we mourn the loss of these two soldiers and this American interpreter. The soldiers were, by the way, were Iowa National Guardsmen, Army National Guard. And it's just devastating that this has happened. But I have questioned the mission inside Syria for U.S. Armed Forces the entire time they've been there, as have many, many other folks, both that have military experience and experience in these wars, and folks outside of that professional sphere of influence. And the question is never answered. What is the vital national interest today of the United States of America that says we should put American soldiers' lives at risk in Syria? No one can answer that question. Look, I understand the president is trying to bring the Syrian government, which is led by, as you pointed out, by an al-Qaeda member, a founder of al-Nusra, okay, linked to ISIS also. I mean, this guy, he's had a bounty on his head for $10 million because he killed American soldiers. That is a question that's really never answered and has been set aside. And I understand the president's effort to try to pull Syria back into the community of nations so that they're not killing themselves and not sending people around the world and not killing Americans that are in proximity to them, or Jewish people, or Lebanese Christians. But that continues to happen. And we see these videos and this reporting over and over again from inside that country. So we have a lot of work to do there. But the biggest work, I think, is withdraw American troops from this. There is no place for Americans to be involved in a meeting like this in an area that the Syrian government can't control either.
Yeah. Well, that's actually my next question, because it's really hard for, I think, most of us. I mean, we're familiar with, obviously, the brief history of, over the last recent years of Syria and what's been going on over there with the regime change. But in regards to why we still have U.S. troops there, it's really hard for most Americans to understand just that. I want to play this clip, clip 13, of Senator Rand Paul kind of calling out the issue as to why we still currently have U.S. troops on the ground in the region. Take a listen.
Well, the soldiers who died are obviously heroes fighting for their country. The purpose of whether or not they should be there or not, though, is a big question. In the first Trump administration, Trump proposed removing those troops, and the neocons around him, the traditional conservatives around him, said, oh, no, no, we won't let you. They actually passed a law trying to prevent him from removing troops from Syria. I was with the president in the first administration that a couple of hundred troops in Syria are more of a tripwire than a strategic asset. I don't think they deter war. I think they basically, because Americans are targets and jihadists around the world think they can get great glory and provoke terrorism by killing an American, that they become potential targets and tripwires to more interaction. Yes, the people who killed our soldiers should be punished, but really we need to reassess whether or not we should have troops in Syria to begin with.
Yeah, I think it's what most Americans want. And when I look over, I know Dan Caldwell, he's one of the great individuals who was actually formerly working over at the Pentagon, but sadly was wrongfully being accused of being a leaker. But he's put out some great information on all of this. And he tweeted out yesterday that earlier this year, the Trump administration started a withdrawal plan of U.S. troops from Syria. They should complete that process. Why is this taking so long? And I mean, why are we even there in the first place?
Well, it's because we have a competition and struggle internally, Brianna, and Dan is an expert in this area, too, because he's actually lived it and really, I think, is continuing to live it as somebody that's outside the government now, helping develop policy that's presented to government individuals. And that this policy of removing our troops from Syria was fought against by a large portion of our foreign policy and national security apparatus when President Trump tried to do it in his first administration. And now he started the process again. It's been slowed down again. It's the same crowd that wants us to risk putting American boys and girls on the border of Ukraine and Russia because they care about where that borderline is when it's not in the vital national interest of the United States. And that's a quote from Barack Obama. Where that border is. We don't really care and have an interest in that at all. And we shouldn't be risking a nuclear war in that area. And the same kind of thing is here. You know, these folks continuously want to have American presence. So there are lives at risk because it generates dollars into that defense budget that is in the process of being passed. Again, it's nearly $1 trillion. With no DOGE cuts in it that are being codified that Elon Musk found, even though they were a fairly small amount. I think $164 million was the last number I saw, which is teeny tiny for the U.S. Department of War's budget. So that battle is internal to us, plus it's supported on the outside by organizations like the Atlantic Council. NATO partners want to see us continue to pour blood and treasure into Europe so that they don't have to risk their economies and their governments and their people to do it. And the president's national security strategy is pushing back on that and saying, no, we're going to reset it. And I think that's part of the reason why he has started the withdrawal of troops from the Middle East area, because it's time for these folks to get control of their own territory, for us to encourage and establish economic relationships from a realist foreign policy perspective instead of these somewhat wacky liberal foreign policy perspectives that like to try to create democracies in parts of the world that will never create democracies in our image.
Yeah, and it's really upsetting that we continue to do this. And I wanted to ask you, you know, Colonel Manis, specifically I want to ask you about Syria, because right now President Trump has really been pushing Syria as a potential ally. I know that's like a very strong way to kind of word it, but they have been very aggressive at defending the Syrian leader right now and even bring him into the White House, bring him to the Oval Office. But they're specifically saying he doesn't have control over the region and saying that he's devastated. Do you truly believe that that's the case going on right now?
I don't believe that for one moment, Brianna. Look, there's a concept called Takiyah, in Islamism that says you can lie as long as the objective of Islamism, which is to conquer wherever believers are in a place of unbelievers. Their goal is to completely take that over, and you can lie to achieve that objective. And I don't trust anybody that's from that part of the world that believes in that type of ideology. And you notice I didn't use the word religion.
Yes.
Islamism is an ideology. It's a form of government. It is tyrannical. It denies the classical rights of the individual that America stands for. And we have no business whatsoever pouring resources into that government at all until it proves itself that it's not an Islamist government. And they're very far from that. As you know, and as I've said, and you've said, Jelani Sharaa, whatever his name is now, has a long history and background of founding organizations that are Islamist and allied with ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra as a leader in those organizations. And the United States has no business with troops on the ground in that country at all whatsoever, let alone in an area going to a leadership meeting, in a place like Palmyra. I'll say it again. I think this individual, the initial reporting, is looking like it's pretty reliable that he has been within the Syrian security forces, and this whole thread about how he's moved over to ISIS. I find it hard to believe because he was allowed to get inside the communications and the logistics and the location information loop and be there in order to perpetrate this attack on these Americans.
Yeah, it's infuriating. I'm sure we're going to learn more. But as of right now, you know, I've got a lot of questions for the Pentagon that we're still waiting to hear back on, but we'll continue to ask them these questions because, again, that is very, very important to understand how this individual was able to carry out this Islamic terrorist attack. And I'm going to keep saying it, Islamic terrorist attack. You know, it really infuriates me that members of this administration, and Colonel, I'll let you weigh on this, fail to actually call these things out for what they are. We're afraid to use the word Islam when there's a terrorist attack. You know, we saw what happened in Australia over the weekend. And as you see the footage, which was rapidly popping up all over social media, sadly, the FBI director, Kash Patel, as well as sadly our vice president, J.D. Vance, were afraid to use the word Islam. And, you know, sometimes they say, oh, we're just waiting for more evidence to come out before we could use a term like that, because we don't want to mischaracterize these types of terrorist attacks. But then they don't use it at a later date. And it's really infuriating to see that this is our current administration. You know, they're coddling, obviously, now the regime that's operating in Syria, the same operation that was supposed to apparently lead to democracy in Syria. In Syria, we heard from, you know, Joe Biden when he was occupying the White House that Syrians are going to be able to vote for their next leader now. This is a good thing. And they tried to praise this when, obviously, there was the regime change over there. But it's not what it exactly seems to be. Even this, you know, this Al-Qaeda leader saying, oh, we don't have time for elections. I'm your new leader now, and we're just going with it. So my point is this. Why is that this current administration is coddling up to individuals like this, Qatar and others, the Saudis as well, and we are too afraid to refer to Islamic terrorist attacks as Islamic terrorist attacks?
It's the power and the strength that continues inside the bureaucracy, Brianna, of those, some people call them neocons, of those that want to continue the endless war policy. This policy with al-Sharaa being the president of the new Syria and the ousting of Assad himself, who was a, whether you like it or not, was a stabilizing force that actually protected groups like the Christians and the Alawites that prevented the atrocities that we've seen happen since the fall of his government have occurred over and over again. And this is just the latest with the deaths of these two soldiers and this American interpreter here. So that is the problem, is we still have too many of those inside this government, and they're so influential that they're able to push the information to the president and to his staff and to his cabinet, to the vice president's staff, to convince them that they need to continue with this because it would be more destabilizing to back off from it. But we just printed the national security strategy that calls for exactly that, and we have a process ongoing for withdrawing Americans from Syria. So you get this dichotomy of differences in communication and messaging, and I'll just touch on it and say one more time. This is Islamist terrorism. Islamists try to conquer wherever they're at when they've gone into a place where they're unbelievers, like the United States of America, like Australia, like Europe, what is happening with Europe, which we are facing the demise of Western civilization because of this infiltration, and we have to take it on. The first step in taking care of a problem is you have to acknowledge you have it, and it is Islamism as a tyrannical ideology that is trying to get a foothold, and it does have a foothold in the United States of America. We need to start focusing inside our borders as we secure our own hemisphere and secure our borders so that we can get after it. Because I don't know if you saw it or not, but last week in testimony, Joe Kent, the head of the National Counterterrorism Center, said there were 2,000 plus confirmed Islamic jihadis from the Afghanistan refugee pool, and there are 18,000 suspected jihadi terrorists inside the United States of America.
Well, Colonel, you actually
go armed everywhere.
We actually, you and I think alike, because I actually had that clip ready to go for you next. So let's play clip 14, where Joe Ken, who obviously is the director of the United States National Counterterrorism Center, details just that. Take a listen.
However, we have a persistent threat from the individuals that were allowed into this country by the previous administration. The number one threat that we have right now, in my view, is the fact that we don't know who came into our country in the last 4 years of Biden's open borders. What we have identified is alarming, and I want to share that with you today. We just recently put out a warning of the heightened risk of terrorist attacks posed to the homeland by terrorists pretty much of all stripes, but in particular from ISIS and from Al-Qaeda. NCTC has been crunching the numbers and going through the sheer volume of known and suspected terrorists that are in the country that came in under the Biden administration. So far, NCTC has identified around 18,000 known and suspected terrorists that the Biden administration let come into our country. These are individuals who, under normal circumstances, would never be allowed to enter our country because of their ties to jihadi groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Yet the Biden administration not only let them into the country, and in many cases facilitated their entry into the country, just like the entry of the Afghan terrorists who committed the terrorist attack here just before Thanksgiving, killing one of our National Guard members and wounding another. That Afghan was brought into the country as a group of over 100,000 Afghans who were brought here during the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. These individuals, despite what has been reported, were not vetted properly to come into the United States. The individual terrorist who committed the attack in D.C., he was vetted to serve as a soldier in Afghanistan. The Biden administration essentially used his tactical level vetting as a ruse to bring him here and to bring him into our communities. And we've seen the tragic results of that. Now, that Afghan, that attacker, that terrorist is just one of 88,000. We've identified 2,000 of that group of 88,000 who have ties to terrorist organizations. We're working right now hand in hand with DHS and with the FBI to run down this 2,000, the Afghans who came here under Allies Welcome who have ties to terrorist organizations, and additionally the other 16,000 individuals with ties to terrorist organizations that Biden let into our country.
All right. So obviously this has been an ongoing issue, and I'm trying to dig more and more into this because we know when these individuals were brought into military bases, they actually did carry out, some of them obviously, sexual assaults and physical assaults on both women and children. And sadly, the Biden regime worked very aggressively hard to suppress all that information from coming out. So we're working our way back to claw back at that and find out more information. But just, we got about 2 minutes left, and I'll let you kind of run with this. What do you expect now that these individuals are still in our country? We've caught a couple dozen of them, but again, they are just running rampant throughout our country. Do you think there's a heightened level of security that we have to kind of go by right now because we don't know where these people are?
Yeah, absolutely. We need a heightened level of security. And quite frankly, every state governor and every state National Guard should be offered up to work with the Department of Homeland Security and the NCTC under Joe Kent there to help find these individuals, get them detained and get them deported out of this country because they do not belong here. Most Islamists do not belong in the United States or any Western country because Islamism is antithetical to Western civilization. It's certainly antithetical to the Constitution of the United States and the values and the declaration that underpinned it, that ironically we're celebrating the 250-year anniversary of the signing of the Declaration, which spells those values of individual freedom and liberty out that Islamism opposes, and we have to fight it. If we don't do this, then we will lose this country just as Europe is losing its countries, and the UK is well on its way to losing their country. And so apparently is Australia. We have to fight it.
Yeah, we have to fight it. We have to fight it. And I think the key point to this is also, like you just said, you know, Islam is not a religion. They like to use the First Amendment as a way to validate their Muslim compounds that they're building all across places like Texas. I know that's one of their main arguments here right now, and we need to keep pushing that, that it is not a religion, and continue to drive that point home. Colonel Rob Madness, thank you for joining us today. Again, folks, to our audience, give him a follow on X at Rob Madness. Again, folks, on X, he also hosts the show, The Rob Madness Show, which airs on Worldview Tube Network. And that's through Monday through Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you for joining the show today, sir. We appreciate your time as always.
Thank you, Brianna. Appreciate what y'all do.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, folks, I want to remind you, today's the last day. If you want to get a Christmas gift over at thealexjonesstore.com, well, now is the day to do it. There's no more delaying this. You got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. It's 40% off the entire site. That includes supplements, apparel, and more over at thealexjonesstore.com. Head on over there right now. It's the final day.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else is doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas!
Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Season, remember, situation awareness and security. At the gun store, we have had several break-in attempts and plenty of other crazy events go down, from people setting up in the abandoned office next door and trying to drill into our building, simply for selling guns at a gun store.
Everybody, starting with you.
Although every break-in attempt in the past was a bust, I'm sad to report that we finally had our first successful break-in a few weeks ago. This bandit was wearing a mask, knocked over everything, and even urinated on our printer. Why? Because he was so pissed that he got locked into the gun store and couldn't get out. We've nicknamed him Carlos Timmy Jaquan. Check this bandit out. So, Carlos Timmy Jaquan was the only successful bandit to break into the gun store in 18 years. So before you leave to go to grandma's house for Christmas, Hanukkah, or Kwanzaa, check those batteries. You know what I'm talking about. And charge those ring cameras. Make sure to remove any alarm codes from unauthorized personnel. Alert the alarm company you'll be out of town. And don't post photos on social media while you're gone. Wait till you get home, and hey, give grandma a kiss for me. Tell her I miss her. As always, more guns equals less crime. Quiet then, buy yourself a gun.
Man, well, that video, which had me rolling on the floor, is courtesy of Michael Cargill, and joins us now in studio. Now, in case you don't follow Michael on X, I'd highly recommend you stop what you're doing now and do just that. You're a Second Amendment advocate, but you're also a winner. So not just an advocate, but you win cases against the government in regards to our Second Amendment. And you're also the owner of the Central Texas Gun Works store here in Austin, Texas. So, Michael, it is an honor to have you on the show today.
Yes, thank you for having
thanks
me.
For the great laugh. Tell us a little bit about the thought that went behind that video, because it's great.
Yeah, so what we wanted to do was give a little funny thing for Christmas and kind of, you know, remind people, you know, just be aware of your surroundings and what's going on. You're going to take this vacation. You're going to be going out of town. Let's make sure that we, you know, just check things out at home, at work, you know, make sure the alarm companies are up to date on what's going on. And then, so that way when you come back, you don't have to worry about, you know, having to report something that happened. Because in Austin, Texas, we know how bad crime really is, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I would say, yeah, we kind of have figured that out. I figured that out very quickly after coming to Austin. But I want to know about the raccoon. What's the status of that raccoon? Has it been apprehended?
So Carlos Timmy Jaquan has not been apprehended. So unfortunately, we actually saw him a couple of nights ago, you know, in the parking lot. We chased him up a tree, you know, So he's still out there. He's still terrorizing us, let me tell you.
All right, when he makes his way into the shop, though, what is he in there for? Is he grabbing food? Is he taking someone's lunch?
He just ended up getting in and then going out. He got stuck in one room, got out of that room, ended up in the main area, and just got stuck and couldn't get out. He's just driving himself crazy going from the front to the back, you know, just trying to get out, just could not get out whatsoever.
Oh, man. Well, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. I'm glad you have your eye on that case, though. I want to talk a little bit about Austin crime, because as you just saw in the video, too, your shop obviously being a target of the criminals looking to come in and try to break in and steal firearms. So obviously you've been, I mean, I came from Florida. I came from South Florida, and I just moved to Texas, and I'm learning a lot about Austin crime here specifically. But, I mean, you're based here here in Austin. So what has it been like as a gun shop owner trying to combat those who are trying to steal firearms from you?
Yeah, it takes a lot. You know, it takes a lot of updating the alarm system. It takes a lot of working with the employees and making sure that, you know, we have a system in place to make sure that we don't come up short. Mm-hmm. You have criminals are evolving. You know, they have nothing but time on their hands to actually learn and get even better. And so we have to evolve with them. You know, technology is growing. You have to stay up to date with all the technology and stuff. So we do facial recognition. We do license plate readers. I try to do everything to make sure that we catch criminals, you know, in our parking lot, you know, and or around that building and keep them from getting inside the building. Because you're not going to stop someone from getting in. Only thing I can do is slow them down. So that I wait, that way I can get law enforcement or we can respond, you know, to the scene, because you can't stop someone from breaking in.
Yeah. And I want to also highlight that, you know, before we came on air, we were talking about this, but Austin PD does a great job at responding quickly. So I want to keep reminding our audience that they need to, you know, think about that. I mean, obviously our audience is not the one to worry about that, but the criminals and all of this, they are the ones who are the real issue here. And I'm going through and, you know, sadly I learned a lot about Austin PD. They do try their best though. There are a lot of people who are on the force who really are trying to fight, but sadly, you're up against the prosecutor's office who's really just, I mean, very left is me being very nice about this. I mean, this is somebody who doesn't want to actually prosecute crime, but took on this position. And time again, we're running into repeat offenders. I mean, I was just quickly scrolling and just typed in Austin crime, and there was another individual who apparently has a meth problem and has been arrested for a sixth time regarding that, but the prosecutor's office has declined to file charges. I mean, he's got like a list. 28 crimes since 2007, 22 felonies he's been hit with when they do decide to prosecute him. But it's not just that. You know, when I was looking to Jamie White, who is one of our employees, one of our colleagues here and InfoWars, and I was looking into what happened to him, he was shot and killed earlier this year by criminals trying to break into his car. I was so enraged when I was just trying to help our audience understand what happened. And it was kind of like we were all being stonewalled a bit. And then I came across another woman who lost her son, and she's going over how her son was murdered and in a very similar way to Jamie. And the prosecutor's office decided to drop the charges against two of the minors. So they were charged initially with capital murder. And I have to look into see what's been going on with Jamie's case, because when they're minors, they hold these things and they lock them down, so you can't understand what is actually happening behind closed doors. But the two in this woman's case, the two minors got their charges reduced down to just like a robbery charge, even though they were part of what sadly took her son's life. So let's talk a little bit about that, because obviously you're a Second Amendment advocate, and we live in a not so friendly 2A county itself, but Travis County is a little bit of a struggle. So what, like, how do you work around the Travis County Prosecutor's Office, who's refusing to go after these criminals?
Right. What I try to, you know, get people to understand is, you're living in, you know, if you live in a major city, you live in a major city that's going to be a liberal mecca, you know, and you have you're going to have a DA, a district attorney, and you're going to have, possibly, you know, people who's the police chief that are going to be liberal as well. And they're not going to, you know, have your best interests at hand. You know, they're going to arrest these people. They're going to let them go. The DA is not going to prosecute. So what you have to do is, you're faced with situations like that, you have to pull your firearm out and you have to use it. Because if you do not, then that person is going to go and attack someone else, and they're going to graduate up to something else, and it's going to get worse after that. So the best thing to do is stop it, you know, right there. I tell people, my little thing is, you know, put them on an escalator and send them straight to Jesus.
I love that when you said that too. That's another one of your lines that had me cracking up when I heard that. And you're about it. I mean, I talk about it all the time. The guys in the control room know, but earlier this year in July, there was a guy who followed me into my building, and I had to pull my firearm at him. And, I had a fight to get the footage. I had a fight to, but he was doing this to women all across, allegedly, I should say, although he admitted to police that he did go after me and didn't get into my home. Or tried to get into my home, my apartment complex itself. He's been doing this to women all over Frisco and throughout the area. And so, like you said, if they think they can get away with it, they will keep doing it. And we're the ones who are supposed to draw the line here and make sure that they can't get away with this.
Yeah, because we've had a guy. I had a guy that actually did criminal mischief to us in front of the gun store. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll have to find that clip. If you go to, like, my Twitter page, on my Twitter page, and scroll down a little bit, you'll see a guy on the outside. He late at night, it was like 4 o'clock in the morning, this guy comes to the gun store, and he tries to, you know, he rips down the speaker, you know, that we have an announcement that lets you know that, hey, we see you, we want you to know that we see you, and police are on the way. You need to stop what you're doing. It's 4 a.m. in the morning. You shouldn't be here. So this guy rips down the speaker. He then, you know, tries to get into the store, and then he drops the speaker and says something and goes away. And so by the time the police got there, of course, he was gone. So as we go back and we look at the video, you can see this guy has an ankle monitor on. So when we did our investigation, we turned out that he was on parole from prison. This guy was on parole from prison from Houston, and he was here hiding out in Austin with an ankle monitor on. And so about what I did was I went to all my different businesses around the area, and I showed them a photo of this guy. I said, hey, if you see this guy, you know, just give me a call and let me know. So about 4 p.m. that same day, mind you, this happened at 4 a.m., 4 p.m. that same day, the 7-Eleven called me up and said, hey, Mike, you know, the guy's inside the 7-Eleven right now. I said, great. So I went over there, drove there real quick, got there, and boom, that was him. So I called 911. I said, hey, I said, here's the police report number. This guy did criminal mischief, tried to break into the gun store, and he's located at the 7-Eleven. I told him where and everything. And then the dispatcher says, okay, and what do you want us to do about it? I said, well, I'm holding him at gunpoint, and I hung up the phone. And so when I said that, boy, did that trigger a response. About 30 seconds later, about 10 police officers cruise into to the parking lot there. And then I immediately put my hands up in the air and said, I don't have a gun. He's right there. I would never pull a gun out in this situation at all, you know, but he's right there. And so the first two police officers that jumped out of the vehicle say, yeah, Michael, we know. We took your class. So it's good to have a relationship with anybody.
I mean, Michael, you're probably the only one who get away with that.
I know.
In all of Austin, as soon as they're like, really, dude? But I mean, it gets you a response, because I remember when I was living in New York City, and I'll spare the audience the details. It's very graphic, but there was a man, a homeless man, doing something very vile outside of my car. And it was late at night. I just got out of Fox, and I'm trying to get into my car. And as a woman, you don't want to go anywhere near that. And I call police. I'm like, hey, this man, his pants are down. He's doing something very vile. And they're like, ma'am, it's a, the street face, I can't even do this. Ma'am, it's a sidewalk. Anyone's allowed to be on it. And I'm like, no, but his pants are, and he's doing, and they're like, no, well, when we get there, he'll probably be gone anyway. So
that's what they said.
I knew I had to get out of, New York City, because it wasn't the city for me. Wow. Cause you can't even defend yourself. You can't even carry a knife. You can't carry mace. You can't carry anything.
Yeah.
So it just wasn't for me. But this is the problem sometimes, you know. People just don't take these things seriously until they get out of hand.
At least I enjoy that about Texas. You know, one thing about Texas is you can actually, in Austin, you know, Houston, wherever, you can actually have a gun on you and on public transportation. So you can, you know, get your license, you can carry your firearm, you can carry constitutionally and protect yourself, whether you're on public transportation, the subway, the train, whatever. You know, we can do that in Texas. And that's why I'm staying right here. It's the last one I got, and I'm going to stand defended.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, too. That's the reason why I moved to the South, because I figured Florida or Texas, I'm good at either place right now. But it's important to do just that. And I remember, you know, when the whole thing was happening with Plano and PD, they brushed it off, the guy following me inside. So it's a flirting incident. They put that in the police report. It wasn't until I blew it up online and FOIA'd everything and pulled the footage out there and embarrassed the police department did they finally make an arrest. But I mean, the point is they grilled me. I mean, they tried to grill me. I wasn't answering questions, though, about my, they said, well, he alleged that you pulled out, or he saw I think his words were a black firearm get pulled on him. Did you pull a gun on him? And I said, I can't answer that question without an attorney.
So you have a right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law.
Well, that's what's so important here is for everyone at home to. I want to keep reminding people, because you posted this video and I want to get it up right now in clip 17 of a very serious incident, but the homeowner found himself on having to defend his property and defend his family. Take a listen to clip 17.
All right, we're here with attorney Doug O'Connell, and just recently we had a situation here in Austin, Texas, where a guy, man, is doing something at night. You know, a cop comes across his vehicle, notices something with the vehicle, and the guy and a girl come out of the bushes, and it looks like this guy, man, shoots his girlfriend in the head trying to shoot a cop. Doug, you know, what do you know about this story? What's going on here?
Yeah, well, it's another tragedy here in our hometown of Austin. I think one of the most interesting aspects is the suspect who shoots his girlfriend, shoots the police officer, runs off. And this is, of course, in the Zilker Park neighborhood, Zilker Park area. He tries to break into somebody's home a short distance away. And that homeowner had heard the shelter-in-place warning go out here in Austin and had taken steps to prepare themselves for what turned out to be an eventuality where the bad guy was trying to break into his home. So he armed himself. Bad guy kicks the door down, as I understand it, and the homeowner fires two rounds, hitting the suspect. you know, from what I can tell, not knowing all the facts, that is a very appropriate use of deadly force to protect yourself, your family, your home. But here's the part that scares me. You know, here in Austin, we have a district attorney's office that doesn't necessarily believe in a right of self-defense, doesn't necessarily believe in the Second Amendment. And it's my understanding that that homeowner went down to the police station and submitted themselves to an interview with the police. I'm not certainly not suggesting that citizens ought not to cooperate with the police, but I am always going to suggest that in a situation where you've had to use deadly force, you give a short statement to the police explaining, I feared for my life, and then the next thing out of your mouth needs to be, I want my attorney. And then later, after sitting with an attorney and going over the facts, taking that attorney's advice, it may or may not be appropriate to go ahead and give a statement to the police. But once you give that statement, you can't pull it back.
Well, you heard it here. You know, man, be careful out there. You know, it's up to you to protect yourself and also protect your family. And remember, if you have to put them on that escalator to Jesus, you do so. As always, more guns equals less crime. Go ahead and buy yourself a gun.
So I love that line. It always gives me a good laugh. But I mean, this is a real thing. People, I think, you know, after a shooting say, you know, I was 100% in the right. And they say, you know, I'm just going to tell the police what happened. And they sometimes say too much and you don't know who you're getting. I mean, I knew I was 100% in the right when I decided to pull my firearm. But then I recorded the call. PD was more concerned about me pulling a firearm than anything else. And they weren't willing to even charge the guy who followed me into my building, was following me up the stairs. So, I mean, for anyone at home right now, again, like kind of walk them through, like if you're involved in a shooting, what are you supposed to do? Because I always say don't talk, and I didn't talk when they asked me.
Right. So one of my big things is I try to especially empower women to come to class, you know, so that way when you're caught in situations like that, you're able to defend yourself and become second nature. Come to class. We can teach you how to draw, you know, from the holster, draw from wherever you have that firearm, whether it's your purse, whether it's your, you know, bra holster, whatever you have, you know, draw that gun and get it out and stop that threat. If you have to pull the gun out and use it, you know, God forbid, pull my firearm, use it, then you need to immediately dial 911. You know, call 911, tell them, you know, hey, my name is so-and-so, so-and-so. My address is so-and-so, so-and-so. I've been in fear of losing my life. You know, I had to stop this person. And then hang up that phone. Once they have that information of where you are, hang up the phone and then call your attorney. It's important that, you know, you get an attorney that, you know, some type of legal plan, you know, that is they're the ones that actually are going to handle this self-defense case, not a tax attorney. You need someone that's going to be good in, you know, in that criminal case. So having a legal plan, get yourself a plan. So that way you contact that attorney. That attorney will either talk to the police for you or tell you what to say to police. And it's important that when the police get there, you exercise your right to remain silent. You have a right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. And remember that. So stick to the script.
Yeah.
Don't say anything else and lawyer up real quick, because it's usually not what people do that gets them in trouble. It's usually what they say when police get there, you know, that gets them in trouble, because police are recording, you know, with their uniform. They're recording in the vehicle. They put you in the vehicle. You sit there. And you may say something, you may start talking to yourself. Don't, because that vehicle is recording everything that you say and everything that you do. You're sitting there, you're second guessing what you just did. Keep it to yourself, close your mouth, and just, you know, wait until your attorney gets there and only speak to your attorney. Don't even let anyone see your mouth move. Don't let them hear what you're saying to your attorney, and speak only to your attorney and tell your attorney the truth.
Yeah, and I think it's really important for folks to understand, because again, I think people, you know, just think they're in the right and they don't really have much to lose because, you know, I'm 100% right. I did what I'm supposed to do. Yeah, I totally jump on board with that and agree with it, but you got to be cautious. I wanted to get your take on this because this is really important for so many of us. You know, obviously I talk about being a refugee from New York, and obviously they're not very 2A friendly over there. In fact, my father, who's a veteran, they took, I think like 2 years to approve him just to get something for his home.
Oh, wow.
And so the process itself is very long, but that's intentional. They don't want people getting firearms, and they try to drag it on, which is obviously unconstitutional. But we have this new DOJ
that claims that it's preparing to fight for American Second Amendment rights. Mm. They've created this is under the Civil Rights Division. They've created a Second Amendment section. And in this, you know, Harmeet Dillon is saying that they're going to be fighting back on a lot of these blue cities who and states that aren't granting these permits quick enough, or they're trying their best to ban certain firearms. Just last week, this one was a big one. The Justice Department sued the DC area, the Metropolitan Police, for their unconstitutional ban on semi-automatic firearms. Now, you're somebody who's had a lot of success, we talk about this too, with going after the government and suing those who try to infringe. What do you make so far of the DOJ creating this special section, though, to go over and to hold these people accountable?
I'm kind of disappointed in what's going on right now with the administration and the Department of Justice. I wish they would do a lot more. Because I sit there and I'm looking at everything and I ask myself, okay, so we're right now, we're in control of the White House. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in control of the House and the Senate. There's no reason why, you know, we have, you know, all branches. We should be able to get whatever bill passed, you know, we want to get passed. You know, when it comes to the Second Amendment, we should be able to get it done. We should be able to remove suppressors and SBRs from the NFA list. We shouldn't have to register them at all. It should be just like any other firearm or device or part or piece. We should be able to walk to the gun store and pick it up. And there's no reason why they can't get this done. You know, we have the White House, we have the House, we have the Senate. And I'm telling you what's going to happen. If we don't get this stuff done, fix the issues with the ATF, you know, gut them and remove some of the things from the ATF. If we don't do this within the next year, we're going to lose either the House or the Senate because they're going to flip. And that's what's going to happen. And then we're going to be a stalemate for the next 3 years, you know, 2 years or whatever, and can't get anything done. So this is our chance right now. Starting January, we got to get it done. There's no reason why we should not be able to get concealed carry reciprocity, where you can, you know, get a license to carry a handgun from your state and it's recognized in all 50 states. That should have been done years ago. Right now, we have the White House, we have the House, we have the Senate. We can easily get that stuff done, and they're not getting it done. So, you know, I have a lawsuit right now against the state of New York, where we're suing the state of New York. The state of New York actually says that if we sell a gun to someone here in Texas and that gun winds up in New York and used in a crime, they can come back and sue me and sue the manufacturer and the distributor. So we actually filed a lawsuit against the state of New York. It's a lawsuit with Smith & Wesson, with Glock, with NSSF, National Shooting Sports Foundation. Mm-hmm. We're in a lawsuit together against the state of New York, you know.
Well, that's a crazy one. It's expected, though. I remember there was a couple of years back when they lost at the Supreme Court level, and New York just keeps, redrafting these bills up and then passing them through. And this is, as you just alluded to, this is something that obviously they do very well.
Mm-hmm.
They understand that this is a long game, and a lot of these companies, they're against companies. They're against, obviously, you're a small business owner, and mm-hmm. they're against you. But they know that the financial drain of the lawfare that's going to cost you guys to bring on these lawsuits is very extensive. So they have an arsenal of funds, obviously, to keep just pumping out legislation. So when they lose these battles in court, they just keep putting out new bills. And
right.
So it's frustrating to see how they understand this, but Republicans just seem to curl up into a ball and they don't want to get into this fight. You know, it's unfortunate, but AG Pambani, one of my concerns when she was nominated for her position is that over in Florida, she supported red flag laws. And here she is now running the DOJ. So that's why I was very skeptical. And although I do like Harmeet Dillon, and this is nothing on her, when they put forward the Second Amendment section, I don't think it's going to go far enough. I mean, it just seems like we're just kicking the can down the road and just buying time when now is the time to fight back.
We have not gotten anything for our vote. You know, we voted for this administration to be in office, and last year we got nothing out of it as far as the 2A. Mm-hmm. So here we are, you know, starting January the 1st, you're going to be able to get your suppressor right now, and you're not going to have to pay a $200 tax for it starting January the 1st. Right now, if you want to get a suppressor, you do the paperwork, it gets registered, and you pay the $200 tax. Mm-hmm. Starting January the 1st, the $200 goes away for suppressors and also for SBRs. Well, you have a bunch of people have gotten together with like Sounds for Shop and some other businesses have gotten together, and they're suing the government because they're saying, hey, you know, since you're going to remove the tax starting January the 1st, then you should get rid of the registration process, you know, the NFA process of it, which is the National Firearms Act. And so we shouldn't have to do that. We shouldn't have to file a lawsuit against the government. I shouldn't have to file a lawsuit against the Trump administration, the Department of Justice, and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms right now because they're controlled by a Republican White House, a Republican House, and a Republican Senate. And they have the power to do this by the stroke of a pen.
Mm-hmm.
So we shouldn't have to spend millions of dollars to sue the government when we voted for these people into office. And last year, we got nothing for our money whatsoever. Nothing whatsoever. So I'm telling people right now, you need to put these people to the task. You know, contact your U.S. Senator, Senator John Cornyn, Ted Cruz from the state of Texas, your senator in your state, wherever you are, and say, hey, we need something for our vote when it comes to the Second Amendment. We need something. Show us. You know, don't tell us. Show us.
Yeah.
Because you're in control of everything and there's no reason to get this stuff done.
And John Cornyn wants Texans to support him as he battles it out with Ken Paxton. So if you want to pretend like you are an advocate for conservatives, now would be the time to kind of get something going. But I'll just roll my eyes for now. Hopefully Ken Paxton wins that one. But Michael, I want to thank you for joining us, and for our audience at home, give him a follow on X. It's very, very funny, of course, at Michael D. Cargill. That is where you're going to want to go. He's the owner of the Central Texas Gun Works. And it's an honor to have you on the program today in studio, my friends. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Alex is up next. Don't go anywhere. There's more to discuss in just a bit.
So it is absolutely critical that you go to thealexjonesstore.com. And until New Year's evening, we are running a ultra massive sale. Buy one, get one free. So buy one supplement, get any other supplement you want free. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement you choose free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together, and they are the best. Ultramethylene Blue, tincture and capsules, bovine colostrum, CMOS capsules, Life Force, ultimate Life Force, spike protein, cardiovascular detox, Shilajit capsules and gummies, incredible. Ultimate turmeric, 95% curcuminoid, ultimate power drink mix, which is even stronger than Turbo Force. If you like Turbo Force, you're going to love it. Ultimate power drink mix, two great flavors now available at DeltaStore.com. High quality concentrated beef cooking tallow. You asked for it, we got it. Ultra DNA Revival. You like DNA Force? This is even better. It's NAD Plus Booster. It's a private label, one of the top NAD Plus products in the country. Atomic Defense, incredible immune system boosting system. Ultimate Burn to help you lose weight naturally. MK Ultra, great for your brain. The Tallow Balm, we never talk about enough. Optimal Human, the ultimate green drink. You've heard Harrison Smith rant and rave about it. It is all available at thealexjonesstore.com, and it makes this entire operation possible. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Your support, we can't do it without you. Also, InfoWarsStore.com has some limited fish oil and turmeric that are high quality. Also, the collectible fundraiser posters limited edition that I designed. You can also make a straight donation there. We need funds. So we got about a $300,000 underage going out in the next few months. We need your support right now. InfoWarsStore.com. You know who you are, the past supporters. I want to encourage those who have been on the fence to take action now. History's happening, and you're betting on a horse that continues to win. Thank you so much.